Lee seems to be writing a novel right now. Oh, hey, there. She's online now. Hey.
Am I now? Hey.
How you doing?
How are you?
I am okay. Just adjusting levels here.
Happiest
hey,
of thoughts.
Lee.
I've been
hey,
thinking
sweetie.
Of you and having the happiest of thoughts for you.
Ross.
Yes.
I'm watching Hannibal, too.
Oh, yay.
It
yay.
Is. I. Okay, so scares the fucking bejesus out of me. I'm not going to lie. But awesome, awesome show. And so I basically marathoned all of season one. What I'm finding with Hannibal, and I'm also watching The Walking Dead with Andrew now. What I'm finding with that is I can't watch them like in real time because they really freak me out. But if I like watch them after, I'm okay.
What do you? Oh, so you have to watch it like maybe 2 weeks later?
No, I can even watch it like a day or two later if I can watch it like on my computer and not like on the big TV Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Because Friday night, it freaks me the frack out. I mean,
but
just
it's a stylish, it's a really
it
stylishly beautifully done show about murder.
It is. And I just watched last week's episode, so I don't know if you have. But
I have.
Amazingly well done. I like how they've taken the story of Hannibal, the first three, really, because I've actually watched the prequel, which is not very good, but I've watched it. And then, of course, Silence of the Lambs, and then also Red Dragon, which...
Wasn't Red Dragon a prequel as well?
Yes.
Red Dragon was kind of a prequel as well, but I've read those, and I've read the last book, which I try to forget that I read.
It's sort of funny.
It's changing enough that it is very good TV, but I don't see how they can go maybe one more season after this.
They can go through
Red Dragon. That's about it.
Yeah. No, you're correct. Because the whole show at the beginning says based on the characters from Red Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the whole, Silence of the Lambs film is tied up with, and if you notice, Dino De Laurentiis's daughter or something's associated with this show.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's like a producer or something. And then Lionsgate that owns the rights to Silence of the Lambs. So it's sort of weird. It's kind of funny on how they're able to do this without pissing off somebody else that has something else copywritten. If that
but
makes
you know
sense.
Who they aren't pissing off, which is kind of interesting, is they're not pissing off Harris. He likes the changes they've made.
Because you know what?
The man hasn't
really written anything. And, you know, it's like, oh, I came up with this really great character. And Lee, if you have a chance, Cosette and I, we rewatched Silence of the Lambs with all of the commentaries that apparently hit Widge up with it because it's out of print. So you have Anthony Hopkins. Now, they're not all in the same room or anything. They all sort of did their own commentary. And Jodie Foster has this really great dialogue or, you know, monologue of how here is a lone female character who saves other women.
Yeah.
You know, and she has this whole warrior journey, da, 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 da. Anthony Hopkins did, I was surprised. He actually admitted that he did some kind of, method acted of actually thinking about this character, which is most Brit actors do not do.
That's true.
Here are the lines. This is what I mean. He actually thought about this character.
Again, this show, Grimm and Sleepy Hollow, got a diversity award, which I just was very excited about because it is a pretty damn diverse show.
It is.
Very happy with them. Jack Crawford, who, if you've read the books and watched the movie, is a real asshole, comes across as a real asshole. Uh-huh. Jack's total focus is on the case. And if that if you can accept that's Jack Crawford,
mm-hmm.
That's it. And Lawrence Fishburne is doing such a great job with that.
And you know what? It's one of those things, and I've always said this about cop shows and cop shows that have spouses, okay? Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, he works really hard, and yes, his wife is dying, there is a connection. Unlike the other shows of, oh, I can't tell you about my job, it's horrible, blah, 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 and that's why they get divorced.
Well, and it goes back to what
a Summer Murder type character is. You know, it's like, hey, I'm sharing this because I have to. It's cathartic, you know?
Well, and it goes back to what we said about Blacklist, although now we know there's another twist in Blacklist. But, I mean, you know, it's not... It is a where they share. And I think that's just been kind of amazing, too. I mean, and she's UN, and there are things they can't share, but there's a lot they can. And I'm Gina Torres, of course, probably the best part of Firefly. Sorry, you know, Captain Tight Pants was cute, but I, honest to God, she was just one of my favorite characters and just great. And I actually kept hoping they were going to, when they kept talking about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they were going to do the cellist, I was actually, if it wasn't going to be Jennifer Grey, was who my first thought was. I was actually, of all the Whedon alums, I was really hoping for Gina Torres or the person who played Joyce Summers.
Isn't Gina Torres already doing another series? She's doing Suits.
She may be. I wouldn't be surprised.
She's doing Suits.
Is she doing Suits
too?
Yeah, because
I watch it. I'm like,
oh, okay. I don't watch that, but she's just awesome. Well, and I was hoping she would do a couple of. She could do a guest spot on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That would make me so
happy. Did you see there was an article about, since you were talking about diversity?
Yep.
When what's her name was killed off of Hannibal.
I saw it.
Well, it was interesting that, you know, with Grimm and Sleepy Hollow, you know, you have characters that don't die. You know, it's like, do we really need to go down the road? You know, why couldn't they kill Scott Thompson off?
There is something, though. It bothered me, but it's kind of the same thing NCIS did, which is, why do you have to kill Kate, and why do you then later have to kill Lauren Holly, who I couldn't stand, but the director. But the issue there is that Will has to feel a lot of guilt, and he's going to feel much more guilt if she dies than one of the two other guys dies.
Right.
Because she and Will were already connected, and she was already starting to see what Will saw.
Well, yeah, but it's like they could have done it any other way.
Oh, they could. I mean, but, you know, but I still say, again, this show has more diversity. Oh, and the guy who's playing Chilton, I did not think anybody could be as much of an asshole as the guy who played the movies. And this guy...
And what's his name is great in it too. I'm glad they brought him back. Eddie Izzard's character.
Oh my God, yes. And Izzard can actually act. I mean, you kind of forget that.
What? He was good in Mystery Men.
He's not just a comic.
He was really good on. Oh, the Grifter show, and I can't remember.
The Riches.
The Riches, yeah.
Yeah, that one, you know, he and Minnie Driver in The Riches. So, you know, he actually can act, and you think about his comedy and how great he is at the comedy, and you kind of forget, oh, damn, he's not bad.
I mean, it goes back to, if you want to go back to a comedian that can act, there was a really cool article... in the New Yorker about Jackie Gleason and when he played Minnesota Fats in The Hustler. You know, that's a great film. If you want to see what a comedian transition is like, watch that. It's amazing, his acting and stuff. So But
I gotta say, I think that's awesome. And I just was, I just thought of you because I've been listening and I haven't been able to be on but for a little while. But Hannibal is awesome and just wow. I think what's amazing.
And it's so stylish.
Well, I mean, it also amazes me that this show is on NBC. This, and again, because I started watching The Walking Dead, this show is as freaky, just a little less gory.
Yeah.
Still as freaky, but a little less gory than The Walking Dead.
But it's,
and in some ways, it's even freakier because you see him cutting up pieces, and then you see him giving them to people to eat.
It's the thing I've been complaining about NBC and or CBS and ABC. It's okay. Like, well, it's like they don't mind using lighting to their advantage. They don't mind using somebody that knows cinematography to their advantage. You know, they're still stuck on mainly CBS of, this is how we used to film Murder, She Wrote. This is what you're getting. It's like, you know, Under the Dome, that whole town should have been shot in a cinematic way, that the town is a character as well, and they missed that. You know, of all people that, you know, you have people that are in film, and they miss the idea that the town or the surrounding village is a character.
Well, and what they've done here too, and I don't think that it's Mads, whatever the name, the guy that plays.
Oh my
Hannibal,
god, he's so sexy.
I don't. He's a little freaky rocks, but that's okay. Go with that. Whoever hands they use when they're cutting up the meat and stuff like that, usually they don't use the actor.
Right.
Those hands are freaking awesome, and how they have set up his kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
His kitchen is like a character.
Yes.
And it's beautifully shot, but it's also just, wow, how they have it so set up that it's where he stands is always the focal point. And I know a part of that is you've got to have it that way because that's the easiest way to get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is how somebody thought of that and structured it very well when they did it, because they made sure around him is very Hannibal-like. And to me, I mean, this is a minimalist guy who yet still likes some ornate touches, and you see that. And Hannibal, for everything else, is also a sensualist. Whether that term takes on a very different meaning with him. But yeah, and I just rocks. I just thought about it, and I was like, oh my god. And yeah, but I can't watch it in real time. I can't watch it on TV. And I tried to watch it later. Yeah, I tried to tape it. I usually watch it a couple of days later. I tried to, like, DVR it and then watch it on the big screen, and I think there is something about that damn big screen. Just seeing that much, I'm like, oh, no, I need it on my little tiny computer.
Hey, John?
Yes?
Can you hear me okay?
Nope.
Nope, you sound in a tunnel.
You're barely audible.
Fucking hell. All right.
Hi, Widge.
Hi.
So Near I, and a tough secret are here because I...
Hello.
Hi.
We should be this tonight instead of watching S.H.I.E.L.D. so we can all talk about all of our cat feels and all of our flailing and our total ideas for what's going to happen to S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
So you mean you?
No, not just...
John, is that any better?
Only slightly. Very slightly.
Here.
And so... Tuffley and Kimmy, since you live close. Well, no, Kimmy wouldn't have this. Tuffley, do you have Walking Dead season 4 on DVD?
No.
Oh, Widge, do you? Widge is playing his report thing.
Widge is having to call back in from 1950. So hang on a minute.
Okay, is that any better?
Nope.
Wow, you sound like you're in a movie theater.
Yeah, now you're really echoing.
I am.
Real quick, introduce Johnny Cash while you're echoey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Cash!
Oh, no, you said Johnny Cash.
That was Johnny Cash, wasn't it?
It's the Earth 3 San Quentin.
There's no Johnny in that. How in the world did you get that?
I don't know.
He had it ready to go.
It's John.
It's a hair trigger. He had it ready.
No, it's John. That's why he did it.
He saw Scott on the hall, and he's like, oh, I've got to get this ready now.
Yeah, and John, I didn't get to go see it. We will at some point. We'll probably just watch it when it comes out on DVD. But Kid Lit went to go see the Lego movie, or Teen Lit, or Tall Lit, whatever you want to call him now.
Everything is awesome!
He thought it was awesome.
Wait,
and
how tall is your kid now?
He's giant. Look on Facebook.
He is giant. He's like 5'9 now.
But then again, anybody standing next to Lee is really Andre, the giant.
You're kidding. That's taller than me. How did that happen?
Hormones.
Nature.
Every damn.
She finally gave him Lunchables.
Testosterone.
I finally gave him the Lunchables. He's eating the Lunchables. I mean, that Kimmy, would you, Kim and Tuffley, because we usually eat together once a week, that child can eat.
Yes.
Well, he's a teenage boy, so yeah.
He's a teenage boy, so he has the hollow leg, and by the time he's filled up the hollow leg, one of the arms is hollow, so he eats enough to fill that. And then he's okay for a little while. Like, his snack when he comes home from school is a bowl of cereal and two or three taquitos that we get from Trader Joe's.
And
then he's kind of okay for a couple of hours until dinner, but he's starving by dinner.
And a sensible Yeti afterward.
Yeah.
John, is that any better?
Not really, sir.
Fuck.
It sounds better to me.
I'm so loud, I can hear myself in my own headphones.
Well, I mean, I can hear you, but you're kind of muffled.
Okay. All right.
See, that's weird, John, because Kim and I can hear him fine.
I can hear him fine.
I do as well.
But that could be the voices in my head. Oh, wait, I have headphones on. Never mind.
Tuffley, if I'm a voice...
What are they telling you to do?
I'm really concerned about you.
Oh, I also want to say that the name tag Trader Joe's beer, the lager, not bad. Not great.
Yeah, I was going to say... Beer. Maybe we should all, I can get back on if we want to do a brew podcast.
Yes, I do too. Now you can get back on. All right, so we will email each other and set that.
Okay, John.
But I got the name tag because I was there.
You sound like you're peaking.
Yeah, because I'm maxed out and you still can't hear me?
I can hear you, but you sound like you are muffled.
What the fuck?
I mean, you sound muddy. Let's put it that way.
The last two times you've sounded okay to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm recording, so.
Yeah. John's
more.
Not to be too much of a dick about it, but.
No, be a dick.
But you're going to be.
I love you all desperately, but.
Yeah, but no, Serve, he literally, every time we turn around, he has grown. It's really sad.
Don't turn around then.
On Facebook I was like, holy crap. It's hard to believe that Kidlet. And I agree. Yeah. Kidlet doesn't apply anymore, so.
Not really. No, I keep thinking of that. Well, in 6 weeks, he will be able to get a learner's permit in Georgia.
That means in 6 weeks, he can have been married for 3 years in Georgia and have children.
Now, only 1 year in Georgia. 14 in Georgia.
Sorry.
Okay, John,
seriously?
Hold on. Which? Yep. Yes.
12 in Alabama.
What?
Ooh.
Say, talk.
I'm talking. Can you hear me now?
It's better, yeah.
Has everyone...
Yes, indeed, he's talking.
It's better, but still not good.
It's the best so far.
Okay.
It's not the best around. Someone's going to take you down.
It's the best you've been this episode.
But not
in
the
this
best
episode
you've ever
of
been, baby.
Fine-tuning Widge's audio.
But not the best you've ever been, baby. So, right. Yeah.
Is that any better?
Talk again.
I'm talking now.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I don't know what to say to get it perfect.
Which I have to say, as somebody who has listened to the last two or three podcasts, you are always the quietest.
I have no idea, which is weird because in real life,
it's because no one will have a word in. Get a word in.
It's,
that's why
it's it is the quiet ones you have to pay attention to.
That's true. Except for rocks. Then you just gotta watch her like a damn hawk.
No, you just watch her. Like, you know,
I didn't do anything.
You know, because all people with top hats.
Let me test this. Hang on. Okay.
Oh, that came through perfectly clear.
Perfectly.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I should be a beer, is what you're saying. That's great.
Yep.
Oh, those AT&T Future ads. Have you ever wanted to hear the top of a bottle come off? You will.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wanted to run off into the surf and leave your tablet sitting on your chair and come back to find it stolen? You will.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember that commercial, right? He ran off down the beach, and his tablet was sitting right there on the chair. It's amazing.
So, Widge, two questions really quick before we get into everything else. Number one, Rock says I need to watch The Silence of the Lambs that has all the commentaries, and I can get that from you?
Borrow? Yes, you can.
And also, I am now watching Walking Dead. My husband and I marathoned it on this week. We watched season two and all of season two and all season three.
And how are you not depressed?
Well, you know, if you were already horribly depressed, it's okay. But do you have season four? Because we're kind of going into withdrawal.
It's I don't think it's out yet.
No, it's just
on. It's not. It's not. I was just wondering if you like had taped it down to a.
No. I don't have the official DVDs yet.
It is on demand.
Okay. You know what? We do not have on demand set up, but it is on demand. So it sounds like somebody needs to call Dish and get it on demand because then it'll be free. And he's sitting right beside me, so then he's got to work on that.
That was appointed someone, is what you're.
That
saying.
Was a pointed restatement of that. Yeah, but Walking Dead. Okay. So are Daryl and Carol together since nobody goddamn answered me on Twitter?
No.
Wait.
Are you sure?
Well, hang on. So is your question, are they together now? Or is your question, were they together at the point you were watching it?
At season three, were they together and having sex?
No.
I think they were headed towards being together. But I don't know about sex. Would you like some Walking Dead slash fic? Is that what you're asking for? Or?
No. I'm talking about Daryl and Carol. That's not slash fic.
Okay, whatever the fanfic, the sex fic, whatever the horrible.
I don't want the sex fic. I don't want the sex Walking Dead because they don't stop her enough.
She wants some apocalyptic sexy time. That's what she wants.
No. I just think
if that's what she wanted, she knows how to use Google.
She wants zombie porn. Let's just. Cut to the chase.
Trust me, I promise
porn.
You, rule 34.
She wants a stiff.
No, I like Tuffley's saying
apocalyptic sexy times.
I think that's a Prince album.
I was just going to say.
Is that called apocalyptic sexy times?
Well, if you think about it, 2000, oops, party over, out of time, right?
It's apocalyptic sexy time. Yeah.
This is the sequel to 1999. I mean, he needs to get back to his roots anyway.
I just think Carol and Daryl are so cute, and she's so awesome, and they both have gone through like this whole growth thing. And
wait, is Daryl the gross looking one that everybody seems to think is sexy?
Yeah. I never did.
Yeah, but he uses a bow. I don't think he's sexy. I don't think he's sexy either. I just think them together is really adorable. I do. So are they together now in season four?
No, I'm not going to tell you. So let me get this straight. After watching three seasons of The Walking Dead.
That's the only question you have?
Yeah, where the world ended and all the body count that you've seen and the death and destruction and mayhem. You just want to know if Daryl and Carol are making the beast with two backs. That's it?
I want to know if the baby's okay, but I know nobody will tell me.
Widge, it's Lee. This is the woman who watched Doctor Who, and the only thing she got out of it was River Song's shoes.
River Song's shoes were awesome. They were labeled baby.
See?
Surprised sure there was anything was? That good in Doctor Who, but okay.
Fuck you. Ooh. Fuck
oh,
you.
Oh, hey! The little thing has popped up. Look at that.
Well, services just said hello.
I can type.
But, yeah, no, I. I like it. I like.
Focus,
no, I like
focus.
The I do, but I don't want to. I don't. Yeah, no, I want to know if the baby's okay, but I know you won't tell me that. And I wanted to know about Carol and Daryl because they've grown as characters.
You know, she's just really hoping nothing bad's happened.
So really,
I watched that show, and I can tell you something bad has happened to everybody.
Something bad happened to everybody.
I love how Lee says, they've grown as characters, when really that's the euphemism for they should be fucking. Because that's really all she cares about.
No, that's not all I care about.
Well, we'll see. Ultimately, everyone only cares about whether Dick got down with Jane.
Oh,
I thought they were brother and sister.
No,
exactly.
What? Ew.
Wisconsin.
Kim, you're thinking of you're thinking of Game of Thrones, actually.
Oh wow.
Hey, speaking of,
yay! Just
for two more seasons, big shock.
Really? Nice.
Really? But it didn't get picked up for season 7.
By then?
What?
It got picked up for 5 and 6, but oddly not 7, and everyone's saying 7's the end point.
No. I mean, I don't see how. I mean,
I thought he was only going to write 7 books.
No, but they've been doing...
They've been splitting seasons into half a book.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, is a season half a book?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is now because the books get bigger and bigger. So, Tuffley, if they're saying season 7 is the end point, all right, that means... I guess... I don't even know what that means. That doesn't. I don't even know how that would work.
Well, supposedly, George has already told them what, in loose terms, what the ending is.
I'm guessing it's rocks fall, everyone dies.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's what always happens with that show.
Well, actually, Daryl and Carol sleep together in the final episode
and die,
and then die.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that because there is what is the show? Downton Abbey. Dear God, if anybody's happy, they're gonna die.
Yeah.
Walking Dead's the same way.
Ain't classy enough to watch that show.
Teen Lit Tall Lit loves it. He loves Downton Abbey.
See, I don't think we should call him Tall Lit because it sounds a lot like toilet. He might not appreciate that. Either. Especially the way that certain Southern accents pronounce toilet.
What about
oh my God, it does.
What about Adult-lit?
No.
No.
He's not an adult yet. No.
Okay.
No, he is more mature than many adults I know, but no.
Okay, sorry, Kiplet, I tried.
Especially the ones on this podcast. But I don't know about Teen-lit because it makes it sound like he should be like a young adult novel.
It sounds like Teen Wolf. It sounds like a Teen Wolf spinoff.
That's true.
It
could be the next Hunger Games.
He's fucking Jason Bateman. That's what he is.
That'd be awesome.
Seriously? That was an echo. That was really fun.
That was awesome. He could be brought in for the reboot of It's Your Move.
Wow, really? There? The obscure 80s is that?
Why are they rebooting Gremlins?
Because they can.
Why?
Because they can.
It's been long enough.
Jinx, Scott. Jesus.
Because I think Samuel Jackson's available for at least a couple of years, so he can be in it.
Get these motherfucking gremlins off this motherfucking plane.
That would be okay, actually.
Actually, that's all it really needs to be, is Samuel Jackson just wasting some gremlins. Get on that, Hollywood.
So, hey, what you drinking, Widge?
I am drinking a Guinness Extra Stout.
Extra Stout? How's that?
Well, it's the foreign Ultra Stout thing that they used to... My understanding is it's what they used to make so that they could ship it overseas and it would still be strong when it got there.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm having a Michelob Amberbach. I'm tired of pine coney beer out here on the West Coast.
Oh, you do got a lot of pine coney beer. Yeah.
Super hoppy stuff. Oh.
Yeah. I have a black mead.
A black
mead? I have a Diet Coke.
Black mead.
I have a vitamin water.
Ooh.
As I said,
What color? Kim. What color?
It's lemonade.
Racist.
Is that vitamin A?
Rocks.
Racist about lemons? What?
No, I said what color.
Are you an anti-lemonite?
No, don't call me an anti-lemonite something.
No. They're lemon groupies.
Yeah.
Lemon roofies?
I thought we were going to talk about Captain America.
Well, we are. But
eventually.
Lee made me not watch S.H.I.E.L.D. the day it came on so that I could come and talk about Captain America.
Well, you go right ahead.
The, fir- the The first thing I want to do is this, though. We have a mission.
From rocks. God?
Yeah, yes. Rocks.
Yeah.
We need to plan our heist of the Poe statue.
Oh, my God, yes.
That it's coming to...
to my yard.
To your yard.
From Boston.
Yep. So it's unveiled in October, so we have some time to plan.
Hey, really? Okay, yeah.
Why is there a Poe statue being put in Boston?
Because there was a time that he actually... It doesn't matter. It's like...
It was that time where he got the game-winning shot in the NBA Finals.
Sir,
that was Bird. That was
sir,
Bird.
He actually helped start the Boston Celtics, but he kept pronouncing it Celtics. And the people from Quincy in South Boston just kind of beat him up and said, no, it's Celtics. You're in Boston. Pronounce it right. And then they kicked his ass to go down to New York.
Sir, it's actually based on the song lyrics, which go, please come to Boston. And he said, Poe, why don't you come home to me?
Well, there's that. I thought it was, please come to Denver.
Well, that's
a different verse.
Yeah.
That's a different, okay, that's a different stanza.
Please come to, now it's please come to Denver and bring some Doritos.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay. So obviously we have the mastermind with Widge, the thief with rocks. Who's going to be the hitter and the grifter and the hacker?
What's the hitter? What's the
John's
hitter?
The hacker.
The muscle.
That hits thing.
Oh, there you go.
Lee has to be
the right lingo, Scott.
Lee has to be the grifter.
Yeah, I'm the grifter. I actually was thinking I was the grifter, yeah.
Well, who's going to buy the minis?
I'm the stoner. Kim.
Oh, Kim's got one.
I have one.
Oh, well, then we're good.
I've got one.
We need
some stories.
We need a couple of minis and Michael Caine.
And
John's got one.
Yeah.
If we could we have a mini Michael Caine?
Although, John, how the hell you fit in a mini, I still have a question on.
I have a maxi mini. Another countryman.
Mm. I'll see that.
Oh, how does that drive?
And do you also have wings?
It drives slightly better or slightly. It drives slightly less fun. Funny? Fun?
Uh-huh.
It's fun. Less fun
enjoyably?
Than a normal mini. Yes, enjoyable. and actually, I'm really contemplating trading it in and getting a regular mini.
I've heard that the 15 is going to be pretty cool. They've made some changes.
The mini?
The new mini. Yeah, the new Cooper.
The Cooper, yeah.
The new Cooper is supposed to be pretty damned awesome. I'm not going to lie.
There was a profile in Top Gear magazine.
You did see, though, that they have, like, one of the lowest reliability rates, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Mine has been fine.
Kimmy, but
well,
yeah,
plus,
when yours
if it
broke, you thought you were going to have to get a new one. Let us be honest on that, okay?
Well, but I didn't, because it was fine.
If it breaks down, you just carry it home.
This is true.
As I've said, I could put one in the back of my mommy SUV.
Wow.
And I can always find a parking space.
John, just drink on that.
Parking
Don't
space,
try to
you
say
can put
what
it in a large purse.
My daughter just snuck up on me. I would be dead right now if she was a little bit more
maybe
of a teenager.
Maybe she's now kidlet.
No, she's gone.
Well, she's gone now? Okay.
Is this become a tradition in your household, John?
What?
One of your children sneaking up on you while you do this?
Yeah. I guess.
Well, you need upstairs, so they do that because it's kind of fun.
You need, like, the Metal Gear Solid startled noise.
What does that sound like?
I like John's startled noise.
Yeah. I've heard it.
We need the visualization of an exclamation mark.
Rox, you've heard everyone's startled noise.
I do. Yeah. That's because I, you know, sidle up to them. Oh, shit, it's you. Put that knife away.
Simon,
you know,
didn't
only
say.
Rox could say, put that knife away, and none of us go, Rox, seriously, don't be
so. No. The other,
like,
people
okay.
are the other people are saying, put that knife away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they normally say that? Wouldn't it be kind of odd if you're pre-telling yourself to put the knife away?
With rocks around?
If you're telling yourself to put the knife away and you're doing it verbally, that's probably going to scare lots of people.
Probably.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, that's a kind of a gross sex act, I guess. Yeah.
That's
Don't look it up on Urban Dictionary.
Don't. So, rocks?
Uh-huh.
So, I've been thinking about the heist, and I think what we need is a Stretch Armstrong, Two Bearded Ladies, a taco stand, and the biggest Jimmy Walker of all time.
Hmm.
Dynamite? Well, you need at least one Minnie and Michael
Caine. The biggest Jimmy Walker, though.
Like Dynamite Jimmy Walker?
That, yeah.
Jesus.
Ah!
See, that was a Metal Gear Solid Star.
Good for you, little kid. Good for you.
Oh, my God.
I think that was Willie.
Way to go, the bestest little kid ever.
You know, what if we get one of those giant bags with a dollar symbol on them, too? And we need a falcon. And
Anthony Mackie, you say you need a falcon now because you saw ever.
A real falcon. They'll be the divergence.
Unleash the falcon.
Now, Rock, should we have a falcon or should we get a giant fucking owl from medieval times?
We can get both.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you kind of dig the idea of an owl over a falcon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can stack them that way.
Yeah. Considering this is Boston, we can create a distraction by hijacking a beer truck.
Or Guinness, having a winning basketball team.
Sounds like there might be a lot of beer that's put at risk at that. I don't like that idea. Instead, let's just dress Scott up in Yankees gear and make him run down the road.
Fuck you!
You're on the same wavelength as I was, sir.
Oh, hell no! Hell no!
If that doesn't work, we can put him down a different street in the Lakers.
I can actually get some people on the inn. My cousins. My family's from Boston, so we can get a safe house.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're good with that. We can at least get a couple safe houses.
I have safe house on Blu-ray.
Why?
Yeah, but if we hide it, we need to hide it in some of the outlying areas, though. Okay. Maybe like Somerville or Wakefield, I think. Nobody would see it in Wakefield. This could be it.
Hide in plain sight kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. There's so many like weird rock gardens. I had an aunt that had this rock garden. You put it in the middle of her yard, nobody would know. It's like, oh, where'd you get that? Lowe's.
So Rox, what if we like stashed it in Wakefield, and what we do is we have it out on somebody's lawn to wait for the heat to cool off, right? Mm-hmm. And what you do is you put like an Iron Man mask, one of the like costume masks, over the face, and then everyone will just think, oh, isn't that interesting? They won't think, oh, that's not Iron Man, that's Edgar Allan Poe.
No. That might be kind of a little dicey. What we need to do is dress him up as a Minuteman, okay? Get one of those tricorn hats. That'll be fine.
You know, there's an angle I think no one's bringing up here. While we're planning this ourselves, I think the entire city of Baltimore is also planning this exact same heist.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that should be ours.
Well, don't forget, we have an inn with Baltimore. Phantom used to be from Baltimore, so maybe he can talk to some people there and
we can cut ties.
Well, I don't know. We can ask him and maybe we can pool our resources.
You know, at Baltimore, we all liked The Wire.
Right.
I will also say Baltimore is not that expensive of a city, guys. We could all, you know, two hotel rooms probably puts us back $100 a night.
Kim really liked Homicide.
Now. She's back on sex.
Homicide was really good.
That was a good show. I liked
it. It was really sad, though. But it was really
good. Why is it always cocking you?
Kim?
Wait, do you really think I'm only worth $50 a night?
What?
Damn.
Wait, 50? Come on.
Well, I said two hotel rooms for 100, and he went, I'm back on sex again. And I'm like, wait, if I said all of us in two, that would be me just for 50.
Wait,
so Lee, are you saying that you get a hotel room and then all the rest of us get the other hotel room?
No, I'm not. Well, that's kind of what Lidge was saying.
Work for a couple of years.
That's like what Lidge was saying.
Not sleeping in the bathtub.
No, Lidge didn't hear anything about $100. All he heard was, let's get two hotel rooms.
Just take it off and fuck me.
I'm just like, all of a sudden we went to Showcase Showdown.
You'd sleep with me, so you and I could share a bed, but we can't do the other part.
Wow. Although, you know what, guys, see if you agree with this. I think we need to get Richard Belzer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. playing John Munch as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, just to add to his list of things that Munch has done.
I have to say, very honestly, I'm kind of tired of how white S.H.I.E.L.D. is, but for Munch on S.H.I.E.L.D., I could make an exception. It doesn't even have to be as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, just they show up and Munch is there.
Well, technically he's old, so on television that's a minority.
That's true.
True.
Nice. Cocoon, the series.
So now that we've tried to segue a couple times into Captain America, can we talk
Captain
about
America.
Captain America?
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm going to bail then because it's dinner time for me anyway. Yeah, I haven't seen it. And
Well, before I go,
how does everybody like it? How has everybody liked it so far?
Oh, you got to see it.
Just see it.
The one thing that I saw that really intrigued me, Kerry, one of the unique geeks, he said it wasn't as good as the first Iron Man, but it was right behind it.
See, I would say it's above the first Iron Man only because I think the story is better than the first Iron Man. But I can see that kind of feeling of those kind of two feelings going together. Yes.
It's right under Avengers for me.
It's got a more serious tone, so it's hard to compare it, but I think it's definitely one of the better ones.
It doesn't have as much rewatchability for me as Avengers does, but it was a very good film.
John,
okay. Oh no,
nothing
yeah,
has.
No, much. And I
saw it three times over the course of the weekend. So,
Widge getting cut off yet again. But I got the gist of what you were saying, Widge.
Okay, good. That's lovely. Yeah, I don't know why it is, but the moment somebody else stops talking, everyone else can talk over each other and it's fine. The moment I start talking, I cut out. I have no idea why.
I didn't set it up that way, I swear.
Are you sure you don't have any Samsung equipment in there, John?
Wow.
I have Samsung night equipment. Huh? What? Documentation. What?
Huh?
What?
So, Widge, let's try again. What were you going to say about Winter Soldier?
I don't even remember, honestly.
Okay. Did you?
Okay, well,
I don't think it's as rewatchable as Avengers, but it's a lot of fun.
I was trying to say that nothing is rewatchable as Avengers. And
okay. Well, I will let you guys go ahead and discuss, but I will hold off on listening to the podcast until I've seen it. And then next time I'll say what I think, okay?
I will email you about a bitch's brew.
Fantastic. Yes, Witch.
Okay, Sheriff?
Yes.
Yeah, you can skip the 3D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, 3D. Good. I'm glad I did not go to 3D because I'm like, I don't know what 3D would have given to this film.
Excellent.
It's weird. The trailer was good in 3D, though.
Yeah, it's weird.
The first Captain America was one of the best 3Ds of that year.
Yeah. It's like watching the Thomas Crown Affair in 3D.
Yeah.
All right, skip the 3D. Will do.
Roger that.
All right, see you guys.
Bye, Serv.
Adios.
Bye, Serv.
Can everyone just quiet for one moment? I got to switch a cable out here real quick.
Sean, as you bring up the
I'm switching cables.
Hush! To me, that was the thing I loved most about this movie.
What part of shut up don't you understand?
Honestly, felt like a whodunit.
Lee
can't follow directions.
Stop talking, Lee.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
You broke
me. And that is the exact moment Lee started talking.
Oh, my God. Isn't that just Lee in a nutshell?
All right, we're good.
All right. So now we're here. The number one question. So spoilers for Captain America: Winter Soldier. If no one's seen it, obviously. But so here is my question: What the hell is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to be about now?
Rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, just a warning for the listeners out there: if you don't want to know, Hydra's been behind it all along. You should have stopped listening 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Having said that,
yeah, I didn't. Hey, I saw that coming.
I would like to make a case for the fact that I was almost on
target.
You
were almost kind of right, yeah.
You were. Well, and I was almost kind of right, too, because I thought it was going to be that S.H.I.E.L.D. would split into good S.H.I.E.L.D. and bad S.H.I.E.L.D., and instead it's just gone boom.
Well, I was talking more about the clairvoyant piece.
Yes.
But... Okay, so who besides me thinks that the clairvoyant is either the Zola AI or the program he made?
Well, if it's the Ultron AI, then John is totally correct. Yeah. But I kind of think it's Zola. I think they're probably going to say it's Zola.
Yeah, because
Go, Lee.
No, go, Scott.
Okay,
I was going to say that they called it an algorithm, so it's just a regular program. It's not an AI. But I do think that the clairvoyant is probably going to end up being Zola because, you know, when you tell a lie, you always try to keep as much to the truth as possible. So they made this whole thing about... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. And I think it goes along with that in the issue of that, you know, the Zola program basically says, you know, if you know enough about the past, you can predict some of the future, which is fine. And I think that's what... Somebody has tapped into that to be the clairvoyant, and they've tapped into everybody's files. They knew about your dad. They knew about this. They know about that. They know about this. So they have totally tapped into whatever there is there. But the things they don't know, they don't know, and that's because there is no data for it to predict. So is it partly using that kind of a program or using those kind of files? Yes. But it is a S.H.I.E.L.D. mole using them. It is not, now a Hydra agent using them. It is not at all, you know, it's somebody fucking with you. It's not, I think it's much more somebody fucking with you moving Hydra's goal forward instead of a clairvoyant who's trying to, you know, take over the world.
I actually, at one point, I think I turned to Kim during one of the viewings of this film and went, wait, so Person of Interest is now MCU canon?
Yeah, that's what
Yep. Yep. I
wait, so the cellist really isn't a cellist? Yes.
Well, see, and
that would
where
make
I
it a lot more interesting.
And
she's
Kim,
got
I was
a gun.
Talking to your brother about that. It's true. I was talking to your brother about that on Saturday, is that my belief on Ultron now is the spidery thing. Along with the Zola program, along with little bits of Jarvis that are still in that system, are coming together to make Ultron.
By the way, that's
fuck him. We're making Ultron ourselves.
Well,
it's really not that surprising that S.H.I.E.L.D. had a brain spider. I'm just saying.
I know the brain spider. That's all I can ever think of him, and I even do the little hand motions of like a spider.
Well yeah.
Yeah,
as you do.
So you like?
So John, can we talk? Can we talk for a minute about what a nice job Marvel did with the previews for this film in like teasing the reveal about Bucky, but completely hiding the fact that, for instance, Robert Redford's You've Changed the Course of History speech was actually delivered to Bucky as a bad guy? Like, that actually blew my mind when it got to that point in the movie. I was like, oh.
Again, it's like it's what they've learned to do with trailers. The example I gave was in Star Trek Into Darkness, where you had the giant black, you know, battle show up. Yeah, the dreadnought show up, and they cut to Cumberbatch, so you think he's piloting it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they're very good about showing you a lot of stuff, but cutting it together in a way that you actually know less than you think you do.
Right.
Oh, so you mean like the Luther School of coming attractions?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that, but with more like musical score underneath.
Understand that until the movie was going on, my husband didn't know who the bad guy was. And my kid only said he really kind of figured it out, like, because they did not know Bucky was the Winter Soldier. They hadn't read the comics. They didn't know that. And I wouldn't have known it except for you guys telling me.
Well, if but you watch the, but if you watch the Shield or the Marvel Universe special they aired in place of Shield,
they say it specifically.
Oh yeah, they say that he is Bucky.
See, we didn't do that because we were worried we would get spoiled for the movie, and we have not watched that yet.
And I think that's interesting, where they had the confidence enough to go, "We can spoil Bucky, and no one will pay attention to anything else."
Well, because
I mean, if you just look and see that, oh, it's Sebastian Stan, then you're going to figure out that it's Bucky. But I think they used that as a smokescreen to cover up the fact that Shield was actually Hydra all along. What the hell?
Or partly Hydra.
Well, not. They've been infiltrating. But me and my friends have been debating this. It could have, it being called the Winter Soldier had nothing to do with the actual, it could have been any, you could have replaced any assassin with a Winter Soldier and it would have been just the same movie. The only exception being that at the end when, you know, Captain America makes the dumbest movies ever made in his life and just gets hammered the hell out of by a mechanical arm.
That's Cap. You know,
that's not Cap. Cap would just
punching bag.
He would have just knocked him out and then moved on. Wouldn't have killed him.
I think you're right that you could pull in a lot of different villains, and it would have been, the movie by itself would have been the same. However, I don't think there would have been some of the emotional impact on the audience.
Well, the movie
that,
really
because they made a really big thing about Cap sort of missing, you know, doing the whole out of time deal with, you know, him talking to Sharon Carter, him visiting the Smithsonian and all that. So it was of a piece that when he finds out it's Bucky, he's willing to risk getting killed by him to try to bring him back.
I gotta ask this question. When you're watching the movie, when the various theaters that you were watching this in, did anybody actually gasp at the Bucky reveal?
Yeah.
Because we were at two different showings and people there were still a huge amount of people just collectively gasping when they said Bucky.
Not at my theater. Especially not for my son either. That's for sure.
Yeah, I did a 315 IMAX 3D showing, and it was fairly sparsely attended.
Yeah, actually, I went to 11:45 on a Sunday. Oh, never mind. I explained my own problem. Yeah, there's very few people there.
Well, I will tell you, I went on Thursday night at 8:00, and our theater was maybe a third full. I was actually really surprised. A third. Not a half, somewhere between a third and a half full. I was,
you know, I have noticed like the theater that is closest to both of our houses that we commonly tend to go to, Thursday night showings are usually pretty empty. Friday night sells out like crazy, like because on Thursday,
unless it's Tyler Perry,
and got in easily.
Unless it's Tyler Perry.
Well, wait, now remember, I go to the one a little farther down the street for you.
What are you trying to say, Tuffley?
I was going to say, Thursdays aren't sold out unless it's Tyler Perry, in which it is.
You sure you don't mean Katy Perry?
Probably her, too. She has whipped cream.
Anyway.
But, yeah, I mean.
But Friday night, all the shows were sold out, so.
The movie,
but, John, let me ask
the
you this, going back to your point.
The movie was not about the Winter Soldier, though.
John, I'm not going to disagree with you on that because I think you're right that that's there, but I also I think the issue on Marvel, and this is me, is that the reason we are all liking it, even Thor, okay, because to me of all the movies, Thor, the first Thor, is the weakest. We had to do it because we had to know him before the Avengers. We had to know Loki before the Avengers.
He wants a dog he can ride
on. Well, but, yeah, and he wants a dog he can ride on, but that's just it. I think the thing with Marvel is we've got to be emotionally invested. If it had been, I don't even know who, somebody else from the Red Room, I also find it very interesting they didn't go into any of the Natasha and Winter Soldier stuff, and I'm wondering if they will.
Well, because the Winter Soldier isn't from the Red Room in MCU now. He's from Hydra. So it's different.
Well, is he from Hydra or is he from the Red Room? Because Hydra has taken him. He could still be Red Room.
Well, no, they had the full flashback with Zola, so.
Yeah, he was gotten by Zola and was with basically the Hydra spinoff that was deep cover and S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole time.
Well, not the
so
whole time.
So they may have written out the Red Room.
Not the they whole worked time. Their way
if
in.
They're going to say that Natasha was actually born in 1984.
No. Yeah, that's they.
In 1948?
That, Zola says that right out.
Which I'm still a little dubious about, but you know, we'll see.
But no, but John, I would agree with you on that. I just think that there's some type of an emotional investment that they're doing, and that's why it had to be Winter Soldier. I think it could have been a lot of different villains.
Because the three Cap movies are going to be a trilogy about Cap and Bucky's epic bromance. That's what it's going to be.
Well, yeah, I understand. But again, it really... it could have been Captain America, some random dude. And,
well, Jonathan
it would have been
called
the same
it
movie.
Captain America. Hydra was there all along. I think that would have been giving it away.
And see, that's what I was trying to say.
And
that
was part of a deliberate misdirection on their part.
They were trying
to hide the big surprise in a smaller surprise.
The whole movie is about misdirection and hiding things in plain sight. So I think that's what, they were going with that with the title.
I didn't feel like there was any emotional attachment. That's my point. I didn't think they played that enough.
Oh,
or very well.
The fact that he gets shirtlessly tortured was not enough feels for you, John? Have you no heart?
Shirtlessly tortured. That's what Kim remembers.
By the way, shirtlessly tortured and apocalyptic sexy time. Remember those.
So Kim, basically...
Shirtlessly tortured is my Suicide Girls porn name.
Kim, basically...
That's your Misfits cover band.
Kim, basically what John wants... He said, trying again.
What do I want, Widge?
John just wants Bucky to have sex with Carol. That's all it is.
Well, that's true.
Make it Carol Danvers and you're on.
And you're on. But, okay, but see, John, I have to say, though, I think for people who did not know Bucky was the Winter Soldier, like my husband, up until the Smithsonian scene, and that's when all of a sudden he looked at me and he goes, I get it now.
Is your dad your husband? Whoa!
Wow!
Wow!
Is your husband?
Is that what you call him?
White courtesy phone.
White courtesy phone. Yeah.
Is your husband allowed to go to Dragon Con anymore? If he did not know that Bucky was Winter Soldier, I think he's been banned from Dragon Con.
No, I mean it's just not. He's not as into the Marvel stuff. He didn't go to a lot of those talks. No. But John, the thing is,
he breathes, right?
Those people, that was it. What?
He breathes, though, right?
He does breathe. He does breathe. Usually, I think. At night, he breathes a lot and it really loud.
I feel his pain.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you do.
And unless I'm not mistaken,
that is a reference.
That is a reference. That's a reference also to a machine. Take that as you will. But I think that it was very interesting how, first of all, there is one thing, because I said I was kind of ruined about a part of it, which is the Hydra part, that I thought Red Skull was coming back, and I actually thought it was going to be Robert Redford, because I saw some of the toys, and they had a Red Skull toy with it.
I told you it wasn't that far out of a thought.
Wow.
They actually had an interviewer ask them about that rumor from the directors, and they said, we'd heard those rumors, but we really wanted to make sure that, Pierce was just some bureaucrat and not just some supervillain, so they really stayed away from that.
Well, and that's fine, but I mean, I was very worried I had been spoiled for this, and actually him just being an asshole turncoat, actually made it much more interesting than him being Red Skull.
Because Red Skull fell through a Tesseract portal. He's not even on Earth anymore.
Yeah, and Loki fell from the Bifrost and went to nowhere and then showed the fuck back up too, Kim. Come on, really?
Yes, but the difference is Loki is Loki, and everybody wants to see him. Nobody wants to see Red Skull again.
Well, we're going to have Red Skull and Annihilus. That's what it's going to be. There, he went into the negative zone. There you go.
I think we're going to see Icing.
Is that phase three?
Hey, can I ask a question? Because this occurred to me while I was watching the film.
Did you ask a question?
Yeah. I wanted to ask a question during the film.
Okay.
That was it. That was all I wanted to say. No, what is preventing Marvel from just saying, hey, you know what? I know, Sony, you have Spider-Man, and I know you have Fantastic Four, and you have X-Men over here, but this is the direction we want to go. Yes, you can still make all the money that you want in the world, but this is the direction we want to go. We want to make it all one universe. Yes, I understand that you still own the rights to this, but can we just make it one universe? You'll make all the money that we're making. Look at all the money we're making. Why can't they do that?
If they did that, there would be bad movies.
No, but I actually had that same question.
No, you know what it is?
Why can't Sony give Marvel Spider-Man and say, you know what? We'll take 10%.
Because they want 100%.
Guys, why would they know?
100% of it isn't going to, in all honesty, if they don't have to put out the overhead, if they don't have to put out the front money, and they take 10% of whatever Disney Marvel makes, they're still making the same fucking money.
Not real.
And no risk.
No.
Well, here's the thing I'm thinking. I'm thinking at this point, maybe initially when they were starting this, they may have wanted the more recognizable Spider-Man and X-Men. But at this point, I mean, I'm sure they would like it, but they're not really as desperate as they were. They've gotten very good at developing B and C-list characters. I mean, they've got everything else. I mean, they're developing the stuff for Netflix. They've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They've got the movies. They got a plan for, like, what, 2028 or something?
Yeah.
So apparently. It's not, you know, the thing is, I think if they were suddenly Sony went bankrupt and said here, you know, Marvel would be like, what are we going to do with this guy?
I don't even need.
I don't want them to get the X-Men back, because then freaking Wolverine would have to be in every movie.
Well, and I don't necessarily.
And Hugh Jackman is tired.
And I'm saying I don't necessarily want Disney to have the rights back. I'm just saying, why can't they expand the universe and let them be in there, but not necessarily be in the like, say, the Avengers movies or whatever, but that they are in the same universe, that there is a recognition that they live in the same universe.
I
don't know if it's Lee or Kim, but they're right. They would not have control over the films, and thus there would be no quality control. And so you would have MCU movies, which would suck.
Well, they still have some control, don't they? Because, I mean, they are signed on producers.
They are, but, I mean, they wouldn't be able to say, no, we're vetoing everything you want to do. You have to make it our way.
Yeah, but why would they care? I mean, seriously, why would Sony even care? Other than, you know, egos and that they're run by egos. Why would they care? I mean, they want to make the most amount of money that they can. So if I was running Sony, I'd say, sure, which way do you want us to go? This is the way we'll go that way. What does it matter? We're going to make a Spider-Man movie anyway.
Isn't Sony doing like a Sinister Six movie and some other Spider-Man? Like, they want their own empire.
Yeah, they're doing Sinister Six.
And also, the thing is, don't forget. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying, if these movies are doing badly, I might see Sony or Fox or whoever going that way. But these movies are making money. So, I mean, even with the overhead involved, I still say that they would keep them to make all this money. I mean,
again, I'm not asking them to give it away.
Lee, domestic box office on Amazing Spider-Man 1 paid for it, and then there was an additional $500 million worldwide. So 10% of $750 million would be what? $75 million? Something? I can't do math.
Well, you went to public school.
It would be less.
Alabama.
It would be much, much less. Anyway.
Plus, this way, I mean, if you're looking at it from the broader Marvel properties perspective, there's two Marvel Studios movies, plus an X-Men sequel, plus a Spider-Man sequel. You know, it's all Marvel characters in the theater at the same time.
Echo. I'm hearing an echo from someone. I can't pin who it is.
Is it me? I don't know how to make it not do that.
Yeah, I don't know, Kim. It is coming through you.
Wait, I'm hearing it too. Yeah, now I'm hearing everybody echo.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I typically don't hear anybody echo, but yet I'm hearing someone. I'm hearing an echo.
Okay, callers, could you turn your radios down, please?
I'm wearing headphones.
First time listener, long time caller.
It stopped.
Yeah.
One scene I did like from Winter Soldier was when Cap went to the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Was I'd actually read a book about how Lindbergh used to sneak into the Smithsonian and hide out just so he could look at the Spirit of St. Louis.
Hmm.
And I thought that that was an interesting thing to do with Captain America as well, you know, sort of sneak in and...
I wanted to go to that exhibit. I'm sorry it doesn't really exist.
Well, not yet.
Is that going to be in that live Marvel experience thing that's coming to the Gwinnett Arena?
Yep. Probably.
I'm going. The very first night of it existing. April 10th.
Awesome.
I mean,
you'll
April
have to
10th,
tell us
me,
if
July
it's good, because it's coming here at like in like 10th. December.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's like the day after Christmas, actually.
I don't
Merry
know why.
Christmas
I don't,
to nerds.
I get the Marvel Universe for Christmas.
I don't know why you would premiere something like this in Tampa, but you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Because we love our monster trucks. That's why. the attention to detail, though, too, with all the Marvel films. And I mentioned this before. What the hell is her name? Kobe Smulders.
Maria.
Thank you. When she's at the very beginning of the movie, when she's chasing down, she's jumping into the car. She throws her gun off into the passenger side. Because that's what you would do if right. you were running. If you were necessarily trying to drive your car with the gun, you'd throw it in there and take off. You're trying to get out of there real quick, right? Now I'm losing it. There's a part in Captain America moment that makes absolute sense, other than the fact that he came out of the water and wasn't wet at all. But
I'm so lost.
There are very specific details in the film that if you were actually trying to kill someone, that is what you would do. And now I'm trying to remember what the hell the point of this conversation was. Hello. I'll be right there.
I'm disturbed.
You'd really, really like Daryl and Carol to end up together.
What just happened?
I don't know.
He said he'd be right back, and then he left. But I guess he'll be right back.
There's point of order. I've got to go.
Howard Johnson is right.
So, but I do feel like one of the reasons the Marvel movies tend to work well is that their quality control is really high. Like, they don't skimp on it. They do good effects. They hire good actors, you know, hire good directors. They actually treat it like a real movie, not like, you know, a lesser film. And I think it really shows.
But I wasn't hallucinating, right? He was completely
bone. Oh, you're back.
Yes, I am. He was completely bone dry when he got onto the ship at the very beginning, right? After diving into the water from like 30,000 feet.
I have no idea what this has to do with throwing a gun into a passenger seat.
Well, their attention to detail, but that particular detail they completely ignored.
The new uniform he had was drip dry.
Yeah, even his hair.
Wait a minute, John.
Yes. Well, you know, if you throw a gun into the passenger side, you want to make sure that it's bone dry.
Well, hang on.
That's what he's trying to say.
Hang on. John, I think got it. So the gun she threw into the passenger seat, was it a water gun, and that's why he wound up wet? Because I'm...
Yes, exactly, sir.
Okay, all right, good. All right, I'll be right back.
One thing that I have really liked about the last couple Marvel films is I feel like they're doing a good job of keeping a lot of variety in the fight scenes and the action scenes. Because if you think about it, like in Iron Man 3, you had some really interesting sequences. Like there was the one where he had like one glove and one boot and he had to fight. And there was, you know, a lot of different things where he had, you know, remote control, or he was fighting without his suit. You know, they were mixing it up. And then at the end of Thor, there was that whole sequence where there were all the portals and the gravitational anomalies and things kept going in and out and teleporting places. And then in this one, I feel like the combat, like they did a lot of interesting things, like with shield, he used it in a lot of different ways. And they really, I think, did a good job highlighting kind of the things that he can do because of the serum and because of what it is. Like the scene where he's running to try to catch the Winter Soldier after he shoots Fury, and he's running through the, like crashing through the doors and windows and hitting the wall. And I think there's something very physical about it, and it really kind of brings home
That was it. Know. That was it, Kim. You hit it. You just reminded me. It was the wall thing that made the that was the detail that
the dent in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what it was, and thank you. You did.
Yeah.
Well, I think
and all of the gymnastics they had him do and stuff, I thought was really cool.
Well, I think one of the other things too, as we talk about the detail on it, is the other issue is that they bring in just enough of the other movies that I feel like they're connected, and yet, as we talk about that detail, they also leave out a big freaking chunk of something, which is Widge. We've talked about it before, and I know Widge just dropped off. He'll be back in a second, but we talk about this all the time. John, can you really not hear me, you shithead?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. John's being a shithead, guys. Sorry, those that are listening. But let me say that again. The issue there is we needed the throwaway line of where is Tony Stark? Where is Hawkeye? Where is Bruce Banner? I need that throwaway line. And I didn't get it. And of all the details that they don't do, that's the one that bothers me the most. Because, you know, somebody was trying to postulate today, I think it was on IO9, that, well, Cap wouldn't call Tony because he might think Tony's Hydra. Cap is not thinking Tony is Hydra. I'm sorry.
Well,
he's not thinking Bruce
think
Hydra. Is Hydra.
He probably thinks he's not discreet enough to work on his spy mission.
That would be that.
Now, that I could believe. Now, Tony trying to be subtle and discreet, I could believe.
Well, then there's the other thing of all of this happens within, what, three days?
And I understand
from start to finish,
that,
it's 3 days.
I understand
and
that.
Especially and if you're a fugitive and any communication you do is liable to be monitored by S.H.I.E.L.D. / Hydra, which you know is really, I mean, how are they supposed to get in touch with non-local people?
This is the only, yeah, and Tony AT&T? Is somebody they're going to be watching. I know that, but I want a throwaway line from somebody at the start.
Well, there was kind of a throwaway line during the targeting. Oh, is that where you're going?
It's no, because the targeting, I saw his name. I didn't see it.
I actually saw two different reviews, like, you know, movie critic reviews, like kind of being sniffy about the unnecessary references to other Avengers in the film. So
what other references did they make?
Well, because there's a thing where he's looking at the helicarrier and they talk about Tony building the repulsor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Stuff like that. So, I mean, I was like, really? But I can see why they might not be more explicit about it if that is what the quote-unquote mainstream audience feels like when they put those in.
Well, but I'll be very honest. I saw a mainstream review, which was headline news, where the guy said, and literally this is the 6-second review guy on Weekend Headline News, I'm getting tired of superhero movies. And all I could do was yell at the screen, this was not really a superhero movie.
Well, it was. It was just a superhero movie in a genre besides straight action.
Well, and it's a superhero movie in that there are certain things that you would have had to change if it weren't Cap, i.e. somebody jumping out without a parachute. You know, some of those throwing the shield the way and all of that. But as John says, it could have been another villain, which, you know, I kind of see. The other issue is, it could have been somebody else finding out that Hydra is doing this. There is a different punch of it being Captain America.
Well,
and
I think
of that, but this to me reminds me of all the great 70s Cold War movies. And as soon as I walked out, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of Day of the Condor. I was thinking of Marathon Man. I was thinking of
well, they wanted you to think of that. And that's
why they
cast Robert Redford,
which was awesome.
But yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that Marvel wants to do is they want to move superhero movie out of being a genre on its own, and they want it to just be, you know, different kinds of genres of film that have superheroes in them. Like, I think that's why they're doing Ant-Man the way they're doing.
And
that's why they're doing Guardians of the Galaxy as how they're doing.
Why isn't and why wouldn't you qualify the Jason Bourne movies or the Mission Impossible movies as superhero movies? Because I mean, the reality is that they're doing things that are beyond normal humans.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I think there is that thought of us going, you know, that kind of there's the spy caper Cold War movie, and then there's a superhero movie. This, to me, this merges that idea of Iron Man and Mission Impossible 3. And I thought, I was like, woohoo, so happy.
Yeah,
Mission Impossible 1, where the bad guy is still somebody we liked.
Can we talk a little bit about how awesome Black Widow was in this movie?
Can we talk about how awesome all of the supporting characters were? Black Widow, Falcon, oh my God, Falcon. Maria Hill.
I love Falcon. He's so cute.
Oh.
And Scarlett, you know, what I really liked about him is like he is such a soldier. He says, "Okay, let's do this."
Yeah, you know, and I like that he can relate.
No freaking
to Steve
out.
On that
no,
level.
No, this is just like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, because he can relate to Steve on that level, which really most of the other Avengers don't, because Natasha's not a soldier. She's a spy, and it's different.
Exactly. You know, but she was such a good spy in this because that was her thing. If I'm going to be a spy, I'm going to follow what Nick Fury tells me, and I don't have to tell you what those mission parameters are because that's none of your business.
Yeah,
helping the hostages. My business is coming in here and cleaning the mainframe.
Right. And I think that I like the way that between the two of them, it traded off letting them be kind of leading the team and better at something. It got them they could both show their strengths. Like, I thought the part where they go to the mall was really funny. Like, I love the part where you ask them where they're going on their honeymoon, and he's like, New Jersey?
Yes! Oh, my God! Oh, my God, and Steven glasses!
So cute.
Oh, and her giving him shit about his kissing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's cold. That's some shady shit right there.
I think
giving him shit about dating. I just love that, too.
Well, because apparently Evans and Scarlett Johansson are good friends in real life, and I think that came across. Like, they had a very comfortable kind of friend vibe in this movie, which I really enjoyed. I love that we're not stealing it, we're borrowing it. Get your feet off the dash, you know, all those little bits.
And I also loved the issue where Falcon said, you know, well, it's behind, you know, steel doors at a, you know.
Oh, yeah, and they're just like, yeah, whatever.
And they're like, done. And that's why we didn't even see it, because it's like, dude, seriously, if that's the hardest thing we got to do, shit, we're fine.
Yeah, that was great.
Loved that. I mean, just, we don't need to see them going in there and getting it, because guess what?
Or breaking into the Smithsonian and stealing his old uniform.
Right, exactly.
My God. So cute. I'm so fired. Oh, my God. That was adorable.
That was cute.
So I got to share something with you. On the way home, my son, because it was just me and William went to go see it. Jordan went on a different day.
Jordan went on a different day?
On a different day. She went with a...
Oh, different day.
No,
our children are getting married at some point. We have to work on this, John. Well, we've had this discussion.
Anyway.
Okay, it's just
awkward moment here. So anyway.
Just one.
Yeah, what's that, Widge? What'd you say, Widge?
Go on. Just go on.
Widge said just go on.
Just leave me behind. Go.
You sound fantastic, by the way, ironically enough.
Widge, you sound great now. Widge, come back. Don't sleep with Carol or Daryl. Stop.
Anyway, on the way home, William, I was talking to him about the movie, and he goes, and I asked him if he liked it, and he goes, yeah. Except I didn't get all the jokes. Everyone was laughing. I didn't understand why everyone was laughing at some of the stuff. And I said, like, what? And then he thought about it, and he goes, well, you know, like, he goes, I don't remember. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he goes, oh, I know. Dad, what's a lease? And I went, when I explained what a lease was, and I said, he goes, why is that funny? I go, okay, this is a whole different conversation we have to have now.
Adults, it becomes a lot funnier. Yeah.
It's like, because they were racially profiling Nick Fury.
I couldn't exactly explain. You know, my son's only 10.
Depressing and funny at the same time.
And the fact is, he just doesn't understand that as being a thing anymore.
Yeah,
because you know he just hasn't grown up that way. But yeah, I was just like, okay, this is very much different conversation to have. I tried explaining it to Sonya later, which my wife, what happened in the film, and she's like, oh, what'd you say? And I said, nothing. I just basically told her what the reason was.
Although I must say,
you just gone, it's a sex thing, son. You'll understand later.
Hang on. Kim first.
I thought the whole sequence with Fury and the car chase was great.
Mm.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Or whatever he said, out of here. Yeah. What was it? Was it get me the hell out of here or the fuck out of here?
It was not. There was no F word. Only
we just inserted in our mind because it's Samuel L. Jackson.
Only
and we have such a strong mental track of him saying those words.
The force is fucking strong with that one.
And I think throughout the through the movie, I think there was only one of the seven dirty words or whatever it is dropped, and that was a shit bomb. Yeah. It was actually literally a shit bomb. No, wait, I don't know if you saw this part.
Seven?
I don't know, but yes, that was there's only bales. One. It was only happened one time, and I'm obviously keenly aware of that because I had my son with me. But yeah, there's only one time. They didn't even use the one fuck that they're allowed.
No, I agree. It's just I see Nick Fury and I'm like, get these motherfucking Hydra off my motherfucking helicarrier. And not only did we break one helicarrier, we broke three.
Okay, can I just say, who puts their targeting server in a giant glass bubble on the bottom of the ship? And also,
and who makes it so easy just to replace one thing?
The ceiling over a bunch of rail-less platforms. Like, I'm pretty sure that's an OSHA violation.
I don't think Stark's going to take credit.
Do you think SHIELD answers to OSHA?
Kim, I think basically they'd watch too much Moonraker.
Kim, I would also say SHIELD is an international and doesn't have the same OSHA regulations as many others.
Okay, based on what I know about international agencies, they have more safety regulations because there's Europeans on them.
Yeah, but, if you go to, those other countries, they don't really give a shit. So they've got those permits from there.
And they've got international assassins on the payroll.
The World Security Council is apparently represented by the United States, England, India, and some other country.
And Britain. I would think the lady England was British.
That's Britain. United Kingdom, Lee.
The UK.
Oh, sorry.
In some incarnation.
Yeah.
And so whoever the bald the guy was guy? From. Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Or the Independent Russia, Republic maybe, of Ireland.
Like, but that's awfully small for a world security.
Oh, he's Canadian. He's Canadian because it's bigger and on top.
Oh, that would be the Weapon X program.
Oh, that,
Whoa, what's that about? What's that all about?
Well, it could be like the Security Council in the UN where they have a rotating membership. So that could be just who was on board unlucky enough at that time.
The World Security Council was different from Avengers to now.
I thought the Indian guy was great, and I liked that they gave him a nice little defiance moment, but I don't buy that a 2-inch hole right where they had the name tags would necessarily kill you, because it's like on your collarbone. I mean, it would hurt, but...
It's above your heart, honey.
Well, my heart is up there, Lee. It's pretty big.
Well, hang on.
For most people.
But it wouldn't instantly knock you over dead.
Wait, you're trying to say something?
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying and failing. I was just going to say, the whoever the World Council member was that Scarlett Johansson was impersonating was from the Avengers.
Mm. Oh, was she the same one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, because they didn't have Powers Booth. They didn't have the Asian man.
No, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
No.
Because he was holding a gun on Pierce.
Huh? No, they only had four members. No, they only had three holographic members.
Four.
The Asian guy was there because he was holding the gun on Pierce while Natasha was typing.
Yeah, yeah. He was there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, I totally missed him. Sorry.
What? That's okay. We saw
I only saw it once. I only saw it once other than three times, like Kim and Tuffy.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. We did see it three times. It's okay, Lee. We understand. We understand why you would not see an Asian man. We got it. We understand why.
Now, Lee... I've only seen it once as well, but
although you think because of the size thing, they'd be very solidarious.
Solidarious? Is that a word?
No.
Solidarity? Something? No. I don't know.
Word.
Wow, stereotype joke and the complete wrong word, Scott.
I know.
Way to go, Scott. Good job.
Sorry, yep. Widge, what were you saying?
Well, it's a good thing he wasn't driving instead of Nick Fury.
I don't remember.
Oh, John, that's horrible.
John, you did not go there. Okay, so can we go back to how Cat's
arrow necklace was? I think it's a present from Pop.
Hang on. Kim, go first.
Did everybody see Black Widow's arrow necklace? I bet it was a present.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
It's special.
It's adorable.
It's adorable, Kim, but guess what? Kim, no.
Now,
what?
Stop. Don't go there.
Now,
don't go there.
Was Scarlett Johansson...
It didn't go anywhere. Why? What?
Yeah.
Was Scarlett Johansson...
Because she and Hawkeye are close.
That's true.
Was Scarlett Johansson pregnant during the filming of this or no?
Yeah.
She just got pregnant now.
Not during the filming of this.
She got pregnant. Okay. She's like 3 or 4 months
during the filming of Avengers 2.
Because she looked thinner in this film. If that's possible.
That's not what's in the bag in Lucy, okay? I'm just saying.
John, I would say she did look thinner in this. And she looked more
pasty.
She looked more battle ready and she is a very pale person, so I'm not sure about that part, but yeah.
Up in a bunker and see how you look.
I gotta be honest though, Kim, we kind of started on this and then went through this. Maria Hill kicked ass. Oh my god,
I love Maria
when she was on the computer and then all of a sudden like bang bang and walks off. Beast on my heart.
I was pretty pleased with Marvel that of the 5 people who were going to save the day, only one of them was a white dude. I would look forward to the day when the white dude is not the main character of the film, but they've made some progress. So, you know, props to them.
Well, and that goes to me. I almost wish they had called this, you know, somehow had figured out a way to call it Cap and Scarlet and Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, sorry. Cap and Black Widow save the world, because I honestly thought that would have been a better
Well,
title.
No, because if they had called it Captain America and Falcon and Black Widow, Hydra was there all along, it would still give a lot away.
It still gives a lot away.
And Winter Soldier.
And Winter Soldier.
And there's only so much room in a marquee.
Bucky has a lot of feelings, you guys. That's why they had to shirtlessly torture him.
Eat bullshit.
About Bucky.
No, I'm sorry. Do we think that they're going to go back to the go to the comics with the Black Widow and Winter Soldier thing?
Maybe.
Probably. I don't know.
Unknown. Well, I mean, in the comics, the Black Widow has been alive since like the 50s.
30s.
Yeah. 30, yeah, 30s. Active.
I just looked
like
this up,
50s.
So yeah, 30s.
I think when you get to the point where the Infinity Serum is actually
a
thing.
Is what I'm saying. Hawkeye's one of her exes. Winter Soldier is one of her exes. Tony Stark is one of her exes, I think, or at least in Ultimates. She wanted to kill him in Ultimates. But
Okay, wait, Scott, why is she a slut? Because she
was kidding.
And not a slut.
Woman, hey, kidding.
Don't hate me. No, don't hate me. This bullshit with all
Jesus
the time, guys.
Fucking Christ, God damn it, woman.
Don't go there.
Kidding.
What I was trying to say is, she's been active so long, you know, any of the characters who have been around for a while have been in and out of several relationships. Actually, I think Hawkeye has more.
Hawkeye's been married 2 times?
I think he was only married the once, but he was with Black Widow for a while. He was married to Mockingbird. He was with Jessica, Spider-Woman for a while. And then there've been others.
There have been others.
Yeah, you slept with Carol that time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and
Daryl.
And a Doombot who looks like the Scarlet Witch, apparently.
It was the Apocalypse. He had to.
Kim, you never
want to buy sex toys from Latveria. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
Oh, what if they're clones?
Their quality control is very poor.
That metal would probably not. Ooh, it'd have sharp edges. It would
chafe.
Oh,
I mean, we've certainly all seen what happened to Dr. Doom.
Yes, we have.
And that was just his face.
No, that was Reed.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, don't give me that mental image, Tuffles. No.
Oh.
Well, he did want vengeance.
Kim, did we come up with brain bleach yet?
Just think about Chris Evans' ridiculously sculpted and pouty face.
And by the way, Chris Evans and his ass.
That is also ridiculously sculpted, although not pouty.
That's also CGI.
his abs are not CGI.
I didn't say his abs.
His abs are CGI, and it was motion capture with Andy Serkis.
Oh, yeah, no. Blech, blech. So I also thought that this one had some really great funny lines, not as many as Avengers, but the on the left thing early on.
Yeah, that was
so cute. Damn cute.
So I thought the funniest line, though, was Fury saying that you can't see the number of the building floors on the outside of the
building. Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yes, that was good. And I also thought Falcon was like, stay there, we'll be for you. Not an option.
Yeah.
He was pretty great throughout.
I really liked the way that he and Steve have that kind of military kind of buddy kind of razzing each other connection. I really liked that.
Well, and I think the one thing, and now to get deep and political in this, I think the one thing I loved about this movie was there were about three things. First of all, I loved that they talked about war as a difficult thing. They talked about the PTSD. They talked about the difficulties of what happens in war. And I think they talked about it very realistically for this type of a movie. I mean, this isn't, we're not talking, you know, Platoon, the sequel. I mean, but they did a really good job.
It's similar to Tony Stark's anxiety issues in Iron Man 3. Like, I think they're doing a nice job.
They're doing a nice job for that. Yeah.
Of
showing that there are some consequences to this life.
Going through difficult stuff. Yeah.
Exactly, Scott. I think that there are consequences. The other thing I loved, because it really hit me, was when Robert Redford says, Hydra wants the same things that the rest of us do. We want to be safe. And you're like, yeah, but the way you want to be safe and the way we want to be safe, not always the same.
Nuts to begin with and then try to fix it. That doesn't count.
Well, who thought that Redford's Hydra is basically the Templars from the Assassin's Creed video games?
No.
Well, sorry. I haven't
played
it.
Have you played the Assassin's Creed video games?
No.
Well, then you can't answer.
Well, I'd just like to point out that we live in a universe in which both Robert Redford and Gary Shandling were heard to say, Hail Hydra.
I know, right?
Oh, we haven't mentioned that either, the Shandling. Okay,
one of the things I loved about it is because if you think about after 9/11 and all the security stuff we went through, I just remember going to Florida and going to the NASA center there and literally being in line 45 minutes to get my purse checked. And I was with my father-in-law, and he was like, he goes, God, I can't believe we have to do all this. The terrorist won. And I went, they won as soon as we put any of this in order. And I think that the way they came back to that, and that there is a limit between our personal, our safety and what each group means by that, I just thought it was a very interesting, telling thought. Because, John, as you're talking about your child talking about, you know, what did that mean about Elise? My son and I have been having these discussions about NSA and spying and Snowden and all of this, and this brought up more of those discussions, which actually is very interesting with a teenager. So
a superhero movie for the WikiLeaks era, basically.
Yes, it was. And you know what? It led to some interesting conversations, which isn't bad.
Okay.
Oh, did anybody see Anthony Mackie on Jimmy Fallon?
No, but
no, how was
it? Every time I see him on an interview, he is more adorable and I like him more. He's so funny.
What was interesting was Jimmy Fallon mentioned that, you know, Falcon was the first black superhero. And he had to correct him by saying, you know, it was actually Black Panther was the first black superhero, but he's the first African-American superhero, which I thought was, you know, good for him for at least having the research with him.
Yeah, because Falcon was from Harlem, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're still in a
fantastic red jumpsuit and gold chain ensemble.
Yeah, thank God for Marvel trying to make sure that the costumes don't look as ridiculous as they do in the comics.
On the whole, they do a really good job of that. I thought Falcon looked really cool.
I thought he looked really cool, and yet I also love that, oh, okay, wait, you really can't fly with just one wing. I was like, yes, realism. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna go boom if I only have one wing. I like that. I liked his goggles, that he needed goggles. That was good.
And but did he also have transforming submachine guns?
I only saw it once, Kim.
He only pulls it out like once. I can't remember exactly. But they looked pretty cool.
He has two handguns that come out of nowhere.
And yeah, they like pop out of his harness or something.
Yeah, they're in the harness.
I don't remember. Oh, sorry, John.
I was going to say, I suspend disbelief when I see a guy flying around with a winged jetpack. So.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that I didn't believe it. I was just saying they were cool.
I just thought, yeah, I'm waiting on my jetpack.
I was like,
the other issue is that I think this was the first, is this the first time, because people keep saying we saw it in Avengers, her use the stingers. I don't ever remember Black Widow using the stingers in Avengers. This is the first time remember her using
them. Didn't she use it on Hawkeye?
She does use them.
Where?
But when she's fighting.
Yeah, she didn't use them on Hawkeye. She mostly used them on the New York fight.
In the New York fight. But she's using them while they're around her wrist.
I remember
she doesn't do the thing where she takes out the little cells and uses it like she does in this movie.
And she also did something similar in X-Men 2, right?
Bitch, because you and I...
No, Iron Man 2.
You mean Iron Man 2.
Thank you. Iron Man 2, sorry.
What, Lee? Yes, Lee.
Oh, my. Okay, first of all, my husband just came down. Kim, are you there?
Yes.
Did he want shield? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, fine. So, my husband just came down, and he's been watching Shield upstairs.
You made me... Yes.
He's been watching Shield, and...
Am I here?
No, you're not there.
Oh, no. God, woman, just
you're somewhere else.
My husband is upstairs. Jim, we were not supposed to watch S.H.I.E.L.D., and Ted's been upstairs watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Okay.
My husband is in trouble.
Should we call the police now? Or?
That's just for Kim and Duffley. The other thing is, I remember her with the Chitauri. She had a knife that she put in them. I don't ever remember her use that.
No, she did.
She did.
Yeah, but you only watched it.
Go back and rewatch it. She did.
Lee, I have seen the movie about two dozen times.
I have seen Avengers. Lee,
well,
me
go
too.
Watch it again.
It's my feel good movie.
I think you fell asleep during the New York battle.
Lee, she doesn't like take anything separate out. She has it like attached to her wrists. So it may look like she's like punching, but she's actually connecting with the Widow.
Right.
No, she's actually, I know exactly when she's on an alien.
She's like on his shoulders, right?
On his shoulders, legs wrapped around his neck, and puts both fists to the back of his head.
And zaps him.
Slower. Can you repeat that slower?
And I remember that scene. I guess I thought she had a knife in her that did that one instead of the Widow's bite. So
it was her tasers.
A little closer to see the little electric. Okay, I'm good. I'm all right with that.
So, I thought Bucky's arm was really
so
cool.
I thought it was really good.
I'm still kind of upset
Bucky
that overall turned out to be a Nazi.
Had a very good look.
I thought the Winter Soldier look was cool.
Kill him.
Yeah, it's
wait until we see how many people in S.H.I.E.L.D. are fucking that we get to kill him.
Yeah,
Coulson's going to be so upset.
Hang on. Toughly go.
Sorry, that's not any of y'all. My husband.
Lee,
okay, it's your name, Toughly.
Lee, stop talking. Toughly go.
I was saying it's been at least 4 days and we haven't seen any messages for Sitwell Lives, so.
Yeah, fuck him.
By the way, internet, get on that.
I was just
I will
sorry
be wearing that
he turned out to be a bad guy because
I
liked
that.
Him.
Really? You liked
I ain't
him?
Wearing Sitwell Lives, hand Lives, any of
them. And by the way, I think. The fact that they did it where they had him throw him through the car door across an intersection and made sure you could hear the thud
as he got hit
when
by
he
the
hits,
truck. Yeah.
When he gets hit by the truck on the other side, just to make sure, okay, nobody is putting in a fucking hashtag this time.
Well, you know, they brought Coulson back to life. Why wouldn't they bring Sitwell back to life?
Because he's Hydra.
They didn't like him.
Oh,
because he's a bad guy.
There's that detail.
Okay, so
here's something else that I'm wondering.
I wasn't sorry he died. I was sorry he was a bad guy all along.
Okay. This is something else I'm wondering. No, now that they've released all this S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra information, I'm assuming that
Coulson being alive is going to be part of that. And you know Tony is going to want to look at all that data. You think he's going to be scrolling down and say, he's what?
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they handle this.
Well,
in regards to Coulson particularly.
I'm very curious about that, and I'm also very curious because Nick Fury has said a few times that he's not in Avengers 2.
He's not in it as much.
Coulson has said he's not in Avengers 2.
Fury has said he's very limited, and so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's very interesting that he has a very limited role. I think, and that's where I was kind of going, is that I think, Scott, it's going to be very interesting to see, because they already talk about that we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. set to Avengers 2. If that's the issue, it's going to be a hell of an interesting ride. And, you know, all of us have said, I mean, I think even everybody realized, I wasn't as thrilled with episodes 2 through about 7. I was still watching. But I have gotten much more involved recently because it's much better show. As it gets to being a spy show, it is a better show.
You know what I'm wondering is, after now that I see how sort of timed everything was, mm-hmm. You know how we said that we thought 2 through 7, like the first part of it, was kind of filler? It really shows that it surely was. You know, mm-hmm. They were just waiting to sort of get up to this. So they were like, we got to have them do something. And that's why some of the episodes were weak, because they were just having them do something while we waited for them to get close enough to Winter Soldier to sort of get that going.
Well, I think it's also, too, that you had to have those episodes so that we have a connection with those people on the plane. Otherwise, we don't have any connect. I mean, if they had started this, let's say, you know, in January or February as a mid-season replacement, we don't have that kind of connection. I don't want, I cannot believe I'm saying this, I don't want Ward to be a Hydra agent. I don't think he is. I don't want Ward to be a Hydra agent. I know May is not a Hydra agent. You know, I don't give a shit about Sky. They can throw her off the plane. But, you know, and Fitzsimmons, I have this real question. How do they get Fitzsimmons and Tippett, which, Kim, thank you for reminding me of the name. How do they get Simmons and Tippett back on the plane? Because they're right now with Hand in the hub, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
And the plane is headed towards the Triskelion.
Right, and the Triskelion's gone boom.
Yeah, or, well, in terms of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Triskelion is about to go boom in like a day, apparently.
Which is a good time to kind of explain that the TV show is operating on sort of expanded time that's compressed in about 3 scenes in the film.
That's our theory, anyway.
Speaking of that, I read a very interesting theory that I want to bring up because of people who've watched all this stuff a lot more than I do. Someone brought up the idea that the reason in Iron Man 3 that there wasn't seeming, you know, after we had like Avengers and then Iron Man 3, we didn't have like a presence of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that in terms of the timeline, Iron Man 3 happened after Captain America 2.
No.
But we don't know.
You don't think so?
Okay.
The only one of those films that we know when it's set in terms of date is Iron Man 3, which is set in Christmas of 2013. Mm-hmm. We do not know when the other movies are set, except Thor is set in the winter because they're all wearing coats.
But that's besides the one thing.
We don't know. Yeah, but aren't they wearing coats in England? I mean, that's like, could be the summer for all we know.
Well, no. But you don't wear wool pea coats in, you know, June.
Eh. Well, yeah,
I don't know. Doctor Who seems to.
Okay, well,
he's an alien. He has a different body temperature.
I would think he would be warmer. He has two goddamn hearts.
I would agree with you, John. But let me go back to this. I think the thing is, I'm waiting because after, you know, with Iron Man 1 and 2 and Thor and Cap and Avengers, you know, when did each one hit in there? Well, I'm waiting to see what that timeline is. Because
they eventually
until Marvel puts it out, I don't know.
Well, I think we can use Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to sort of speculate on the timeline because we know that Thor happens after Iron Man 3 and before Cap 2.
No, we don't. We know that Thor happens before.
Well, yes, we do because of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Iron Man 3.
Well, here's the thing.
Iron Man 3 with Tony.
At the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they know about Extremis, which would seem to indicate that that happens after Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
However, right. This isn't concurrent with the real time because at the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that was in the fall of 13, and Iron Man 3 is set at Christmas of 13. And we know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Thor 2 happen in the same time frame because there's that episode that's set right after it.
Where they're cleaning up Oxford. I don't
know how exactly they all get together with the second Cap or anything like that.
And see, that's the issue where we know what's coming up with Cap right now, only because they've said it's insurrection. But the other issue is with Extremis, the question becomes, they know about Extremis, but what do they know about Extremis? And that's, you know, Tony took Extremis from Pepper. We don't know how long that shit took. We don't know how long it took for Tony to get his heart done and all this other shit.
So if you take that as the timeline, that would mean that the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is set sometime after Christmas of 2013. So it's set, what, like 6 months in its own future or something like that? So I don't feel comfortable speculating until we get an official.
Well, also, don't forget, technically, when the movie happened was at least sometime after, because he, in the quote-unquote present, he's talking to Bruce about this. Right. So we don't know when that happened. But remember, that movie is like, in some ways, like one giant flashback.
Remember, it's Christmas, so, you know, it happens over Christmas, which it happens, I think, we counted the days, what, 7 days, 5 days?
God, we're such nerds.
We are such nerds, but, you know, 5 to 7 days. So,
there's a fun little theory where when they do the targeting, where you see Bruce and Tony are both at the tower.
They're talking at that point.
That's the
framing story from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, right. That Tony's actually telling Bruce about what happened.
Well, and that could be fine because, I mean, the other thing is we haven't in S.H.I.E.L.D., while we know that Thor happened here sometime during winter of whatever, but we don't know the year, but winter-ish, and then we've got Cap now, and I don't know, but they're running around in shorts, and I've been to D.C., it's damn cold. So I'm going to think it's sometime in the springish. If that's what's going on there, you know, how long did it take Tony to get the Extremis out of Pepper? How long did it take to do his thing and then tell Bruce about it? Because Bruce has more gray hair and looks a lot more comfortable sitting in that tower than you would have thought of soon after Avengers. To me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, we know it's not soon.
He's got, like, you know that stuff that Fury used? He's using the more advanced version.
He's got D'Onofrio hairspray.
There you go.
Shit. Fury!
Well, they came out with the thing that the whole phase one was supposed to take place over a single week, which I never thought made much sense, but that's what Marvel said.
Wasn't that a Bare Naked Ladies song?
That Iron Man 2, the reason Coulson got pulled away is because all of a sudden he had to drive.
To 1 week since you just destroyed New York. Thor. It's been
1 week since you looked at me. Yeah. But I don't know. I kind of wonder about S.H.I.E.L.D. I cannot wait to see. That's why I'm really pissed at my husband, the shithead. Because I want to see, you know, I have theories. I think Garrett's a bad guy. Bill Paxton is not a good guy. I have the theory that Tippett is a good guy. Ward is a good guy. And I think that this – I can't wait to see how we go through with Coulson, somebody who has already – who gave his life to S.H.I.E.L.D., who's already having questions about why the hell did I do this, and now all of a sudden – what he believed in is totally blown up.
You know, it's almost like they, you know, with something like they would, you know, kill the mother or something.
Exactly. Kill the mother. It was all a dream. Bobby's just in the shower. Fury's in the shower. Maybe that's it. This is all Fury's dream in the shower.
Well, yeah, Carol wakes up.
Why are we talking Fury's about Fury in the shower?
Because this
is Kim. Oh, sweetie.
Kim, this is from before when John was talking about Cap being wet. It was because he was in Fury Shower.
I think he was trying to get the motherfucking snake off the motherfucking plane.
Motherfucking snake. Really? That's confused. True. He's got to cut off a head, and it's on the. I'm getting that motherfucking.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
It's not a snake. It's a chupacabra.
Toughly, did you say chupacabra?
Yes.
I heard that.
Is that like a killer like tiny like, chicken in Latin America? What?
I think I think
it's
you buy those at Kmart, don't you?
Yes. If you can find a Kmart.
Well, you know, they're around.
Where?
You know, places.
Where?
You know, there.
Strip malls. Strip malls far away.
And stripper malls as well.
Next to the roses.
Yeah, they're always next to something that's closed. Anyway.
Well, that was refreshing.
A pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
There you go.
So, do we want to talk about Captain America?
I love Captain America.
Well, see, John, we don't know the timeline of this podcast. So is this part of the conversation happening before the earlier part of the conversation? Because the earlier part of the conversation, I know, takes place on April 8th, but I don't know when this is. Is this flashback?
This occurs right between when Scarlet Witch and Captain America have sex and Carol and Daryl have sex.
At the same time. It's an orgy. Speaking of which... So the after credits bit with Baron von Strucker, which yes. I think is very cool,
very
and
awesome.
The introduction of
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch,
the twins.
Okay, wait. So we're talking about. I'm sorry. For those of you, I had to step away for a second.
Where's Gleek?
So
I didn't think the universe. Endings were that great.
How dare you, sir?
Gary for Cleek reference? What?
Yeah, well, sorry. He's in the wrong universe, bastard.
Oh, right.
I didn't think the little Easter eggs at the end were that great. I wasn't as ecstatic with them.
Well, are you ever ecstatic? They're never more.
What the hell do you expect?
Yes, I am.
No, Lee, do you know who Baron von Strucker is?
Nope.
That's why she's not at that point.
But I kept thinking that because if they had the thing, that was going to lead to Infinity Gauntlet stuff, because that would be the little bit of the Tesseract.
Well, it does.
The Infinity Gauntlet. See? So I knew that it had to do something with that, but I didn't really care.
Yeah, isn't the theory that the Blue Stone is the Mind Gem?
Right.
Something,
yeah.
As opposed to the Mind Trap.
as opposed to the Finger Trap? What? Okay.
What?
As opposed to the far mind trap.
So
there's a near fight mind trap.
So I think it's interesting that at least what it looks like from the outside is that they've made Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver just basically experiments.
Lab rats.
And so you can neatly sidestep the whole Magneto problem.
Right, right.
I was wondering about that.
No, yeah. I was reading about that, and they said that for a good portion of their appearances in the comics, that wasn't a thing.
Well,
it just came up.
That's true.
But they were always mutants, though.
And they were mutants. You're right. They were mutants, which don't technically exist right now.
Which we don't use that word in the Marvel universe, in the Marvel Disney universe.
The cinematic universe.
Yeah.
But it is considered...
Because Marvel and Disney are racist, that's why.
It is considered that they are in all...
What did they call the Index, and what did they call the people on the Index in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Gifted.
Well, there you go.
It's because supposedly, I think, Fox owns... Because of X-Men, they own...
Fox mutant, owns any reference to mutant.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. So they can use Gifted and all of that. They can't use me.
Toughly, what was the thing where a while back somebody tried to do the series that was I Can't Believe It's Not the X-Men called Mutant X and got sued? What was that?
Yeah, that was...
That was a syndicated show.
That was a syndicated show.
Well, yeah, but the thing is they used... if you were to do that, you would have called it something other than Mutant X.
Actually, Widge, that was Marvel who produced Mutant X.
But I know.
But they still got sued, right?
That was Marvel who produced Mutant X, and Fox sued.
Yeah. And it's all gone now.
It was
it's also interesting because at the same time they were publishing a comic called Mutant X, which was basically X Factor.
Right. And it really wasn't that great anyway, so really no loss there.
It was kind of the start of the first of the teen shows for this kind of stuff. With Mutant X, and then you've got now Teen Wolf and
Well, if you say teen Vampire by that, we're clearly 30-year-olds, yes.
I thought that started with Beverly Hills 90210.
That goes along on the Glee side of the paranormal stuff. I mean, there is a whole teen paranormal thing now that is the 100 Teen Wolf, Vampire Diaries.
And by the way, this doesn't take much, but I'll go ahead and say it. The Tomorrow People remake is too stupid to live. And that's saying a lot considering the Tomorrow People.
Toughly, do you also understand that it's getting huge ratings on CW?
I know. That's why it's on the CW, because it's too stupid to live.
Huge ratings on the CW. What's that like,
50?
I believe that it has a pulse.
And Lee, I would point you to Misfits of Science, although not enthusiastically.
I remember Misfits of Science, Courtney Cox, thank you, but I that was a bit of a... That was an outlier.
Well, cougars can spot each other.
yeah, so we can.
Don't ask me why this popped into my head, and it's a complete sidetrack. I know, surprise. But did anybody watch the last Community?
No. Oh, the G.I. Joe thing?
Yeah.
I did see that on Hulu this afternoon.
Oh, my God, that was so brilliant.
That was great.
Anyway, all right, moving on.
I did watch, and sorry, this goes back to another Weekend Justice.
Did you see the guy from Community and Cat?
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a small round of applause when he showed up. When, Abed.
He was there.
Because didn't the directors direct some episodes of Community or something?
I think they
wrote some episodes of Community.
There's some kind of Community connection.
I mean, Community is very geek central, so. Yeah,
and that's
brother.
The new thing now with Nathan Fillion is everybody keeps talking about, well, you worked with these directors, you've worked with these other people. Where's your cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy, in which he's not? He's saying, talk about it, but
he's got a series. He's busy.
No, he does a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy. You get to watch for his name. He's probably in a shitload of makeup. Just watch for him. He's in there somewhere.
He'll be flying by.
He's playing Karen Gillan.
He's flying Serenity.
Little Firefly.
Yeah.
She looks so scary in that trailer. She's so awesome.
What did you do with Lee?
Oh my God. John, quit slowing down Lee's voice.
Sorry. The Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, I kind of watch it when I want a little bit of a happy. And
Lee chopped and screwed.
You know, I was very, very, very grateful.
Are you alone when you have this little bit of happy?
I might be at work on a break when I need a little bit of happy. Shwing.
Are you lonesome
in
tonight?
In the stall.
Like,
ladies, little sum-sum.
I need a little happy. I go, ooga chaka, ooga chaka, whatever. Yeah.
So, ladies. I want to know what you do. Wait,
is that the noise you make? That's
oh,
odd.
My God.
So Lee, just to be clear, when you're feeling lonely and a little down, you turn to a raccoon?
Yes. I actually already put it on my Twitter that it's wrong that I already have a crush on a CGI anthropomorph.
I was thinking about that giant wood.
No, that's all right. No. He can only say, "I am Groot." I already found that out. Nah,
you know, that's the worst insult to Pitch Black ever.
Hoorah.
Well, they did get the right actor for it. He is very weird.
Yes, they did.
Aww.
But I am so psyched for Guardians of the Galaxy now. I can't. Can it be August now?
Because
I'm sick.
I have another funny story after post-cap with my son again.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know what? Let's head over to the comic store because it's free comic book day, by the way. It was not free comic book. I got the dates mixed up because I went on 4-5, not 5-4.
Oh, jeez.
I walked in and I'm the only person there. And like, what's going on?
No,
here?
I did. I thought it was this Saturday, too. I thought it was the first Saturday of April. No. Whoops. Okay, I didn't miss it. Yay, John, I did, too.
No,
you didn't go to the store.
No, I didn't go to the store.
And have this awkward conversation with your son.
Oh, my God. You probably went, hey, it's free comic book day. And you probably went, what?
Yeah.
So how many comic books did you have to buy him?
Well, no, I bought him a limited run on Power Pack.
Hmm.
There's a 5 series, a Power Pack versus the Skrulls or something like that.
There you go.
I love Power Pack. Power Pack's really good.
Okay, good. May. I thought I did. John, I was right there with you. I was like, shit, I missed comic book day.
Yeah, well, I literally reversed the numbers. It was because I went on Saturday, not on Sunday at 11:45. And I went on 5-4, I'm on 4-5, not 5-4.
All right. I don't know. I'm trying to remember what trailers we saw before this. We saw Godzilla, which I'm now looking forward to.
Oh, you're lucky. We saw the Michael Bay Teenage Ninja Turtles, and it looks horrifying.
I saw it too.
Did not see that. I've seen that on Turtles Don't Have Lips.
I know. It's so freaky looking.
Turtles also, by the way, are not ninjas.
No, wait a minute.
I just want to point that out.
The lip thing is more disturbing than the ninja part.
Yeah.
I'd like to point
out,
they are mutants. They are mutants, so they're mutants.
By the way, technically, can Fox sue?
We're just trying to make a point. Shh. Go, Witch.
No, never mind. Keep going.
I actually heard you, Witch. I agree. What else did we see? What other movies are coming out this summer?
Lucy.
We saw Lucy.
Lucy. Lucy. My God, looks awesome. I do want to see that.
We saw
Transcendence. We saw the trailer for Transcendence.
Yeah, and we saw the Spider-Man sequel and Days of Future Past.
Because basically we got the dueling Morgan Freeman trailers.
I'm
waiting to hear what Wolven has to say about Transcendence.
And bears, yeah. The bear thing.
Bears.
Bears.
See, I'm mixing up which theater we saw which preview in.
Yeah, no, but Thursday
showed at AMC.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I didn't see Transcendence. I remember Godzilla. I did see all the three Marvels and the Bears and 2 other ones that I just don't remember. I always want to say I saw Harry Potter, but I didn't see Harry Potter, so I don't know what the hell I saw. Yeah, but it was interesting looking.
Witch has to say something.
Rox is leaving.
By the way, Rox, Hydra was behind it all along.
Oh, damn it.
Which means you've got a job because, you know, Hydra will need more people to help run it.
Okay, I'll send my resume.
Yeah, they just lost a lot of people.
They just lost a lot, so they're going to need some resumes.
They're going to need some temps.
I can do that.
They need evil temps.
Okay, I'm on it. I'll send that out tonight.
Bye, Rox.
Bye.
I cannot believe that I want to see Godzilla, but I want to see Godzilla. Oh, Transformers! Don't give a shit about it. They had a thing for it, and don't care.
That was a very emphatic no.
But Mark Wahlberg.
Don't give a shit. No.
He's fought nature. Now he'll fight robots.
So does that make the Transformers the new Funky Bunch?
Jesus.
Well, they do have Jazz.
Yes.
And
he too is racially insensitive.
Oh God, everything was insensitive in that. I loved the Godzilla trailer with the couple little lines about, you know, why did Japan do all that testing, or why we weren't doing that testing? We were trying to kill it.
By the way, the married couple and Godzilla are playing the twins, and
they are not. Stop.
They are.
Cranston and Julia Binoche.
The two actors who are playing the young married couple in Godzilla are also playing the twins.
What's her name?
Yes,
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah,
yes,
talented Olsen. Right.
Yes, they are. They are playing the twins in at the end of Cap and in Avengers 2, but they're married in Godzilla.
Oh, so Godzilla is the Ultimates universe.
You know,
yes,
you know that whole.
So Godzilla is actually Fang Fang Foom.
Oh, hey!
I thought he was Blaze.
Wow, that's
so. Is that what they're keeping from the trailers? Is like we don't actually see him, so we don't actually see the pants.
No, he's Bucky too.
Well, that whole family has been kind of weird anyway, right? I mean, there's been this weird vibe from him, so it wouldn't surprise me if they were married.
Hey, Tuffley.
Yeah.
Oh, Mothra God, that's
was
right.
behind Ultimate it all 2. Along.
Say what?
It's all Mothra. That bastard.
Or is yeah, that... but did the little tiny Japanese girls come with?
We could hope not.
In my fantasy, they do.
That's the deluxe box set.
Yeah, so I am.
So that's what comes
I try not to read.
What? Go. What did you say, Lee?
I try not to read spoilers, so I am wondering how many kaiju, which now has become a term I know and use, how many kaiju are going to be in Godzilla? Because if I'm looking at the trailer, I see at least two and I think three different ones.
Well, they have to assemble the kaiju in order to take Godzilla down. Oh, wait, that's Batman versus Superman. I'm sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, that's wrong. Wrong one.
Wait, what are the other... When do you see two other kaiju?
There is Godzilla, and then there is another one that the mouth, and it's only like for a second or two in the trailer that just came out.
What mouth?
The mouth is different than the other ones. I literally
what
I
mouth?
Like last week. There's a mouth that's in. It's like everybody's in a train, and then there's a mouth. I don't know.
You know the guy from Happy Days.
You sure you weren't watching Wait, porn?
It's either that.
They were being attacked by a giant dog host.
Women don't watch porn. We read porn. Remember that.
We're just trying to say something.
Never mind. Moment's gone.
But I can't believe I'm wanting to see God.
So I suppose I should be pressing a button right about now.
See, of course, yeah, the moment I start to step in to try to fill the void like I normally do, someone will step on me.
We'll try not
Squish.
To.
That was Squish. Well-timed. That was well-timed.
Yes.
That's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Oh, see, what now Lee, that you're watching Walking Dead, so I can't really share my end of season 4 theory. My theory about the big reveal for...
Yeah, Lee.
What? I'm sorry. I had to step away. The dog needed to go outside.
Well, apparently... Apparently you could have, Widge.
I know. Here I was apologizing to you for not wanting to not spoil season 4 for you, and you weren't even there.
Oh. I don't want to spoil season 4. I really do want to see it all, so we're probably going to have to buy it or get my husband to finally do On Demand.
I hate to tell you this, but everybody at Terminus is Hydra.
That'll work. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. When I heard that Tasha Yar was at Terminus, I was like, ah, fuck, who the hell knows what's going to happen? So, right with that. Because I do. I try not to read a whole lot of spoilers. If I'm watching something or whatever.
That's okay. She'll have no reason to exist, and they'll kill her off for no reason.
Oh, God. Yeah, as long as she doesn't become a fucking Romulan, I'm all right. But I actually have to go because I have a very early meeting. Can I make a recommendation before I go?
No.
Sure. I said sure. You probably didn't hear me.
I did. I did hear Widge, okay. And I'm going to listen to him. So I want to
hear me when no one else can. It's like it's Harvey or something. I'm your poopa.
Well, also because now John will make a joke of it, but I also see your box light up, so I'm kind of trying to watch the screen for when you want to. Go for it, John. Play it.
I have the glow in the dark box.
You do. So do you want to recommend Hannibal? Watching that, just like Rocks, and finding it very, very good. Yes, believe it or not, I have now watched The Walking Dead season 2 and season 3. However, I do recommend marathoning them because, dear God in heaven, the farm is Jesus Christ, they're there forever. and recently read something called I, Zombie, which
yay!
Great book. It's a series of short stories, which is told from the viewpoint of those who have become zombies. And the basic premise, the basic premise is that they,
I retract my yay.
Oh, okay. Well, the basic premise of I, comma, Zombie is, and you can get it on your Kindle through www.needcoffee.com/Amazon.
It's a front slash, not a backslash.
Whatever. It's the Amazon link. you can get it that way. But they're very interesting, and all of them still retain their thought processes, even if they are zombies and can't stop themselves. And it's really kind of really good writing and also really freaking. So that was good. And I cannot totally give it a full recommendation, but I am reading She-Hulk 1 and 2. I have lots of issues with it, but it is interesting, and I do actually like the art.
Fair, you don't have issues with this particular run of She-Hulk. You have issues with the very concept of She-Hulk's character.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I think this is a discussion for another time, because it sounds like a very deep discussion.
Here, and I will, this is a deep discussion. I don't have any issues with the idea that a person, when they find out they have a beast inside them, then the beast can come out with gamma radiation.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, that's Carolyn Darrell.
I would say I don't have any issue with tapping into the strength and the, I don't know what term to use, Kim.
Chutzpah? Yeah.
The chutzpah, the authority, yeah, something like that, that comes with that. I think that's great. Why the fuck you stay green does not make any goddamn sense to me. I have also read some of the other She-Hulk stuff, and she hasn't always stayed green when she's not She-Hulk, and that bothers me.
She is mostly green, and she prefers to be that way. That's her thing. She's like the opposite of Banner. She prefers to be in that form.
She prefers to have those characteristics. That doesn't mean that she prefers to be in that form, because she doesn't stay in that full form. This is my argument.
It's her thing. So she's going to do what she wants to do.
But I will say that it is, so far, it's decently interesting. It's okay. I find the artwork kind of a little retro, which I'm kind of liking.
I believe, is that not Javier Pulido doing the She-Hulk? He did some art on Hawkeye. He did a couple issues of Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's
so
it's
if good. You liked, I want to say he did the tape arc. So if you liked those, then he's doing She-Hulk now.
And then the other one is to double a recommendation from John from last week. John,
what did I recommend
our family
last week?
Plays Carcassonne.
Oh, okay.
And we own it, and along with the at least one or two expansion sets, and it's a great, great game. Loving it. So those are my recommendations. Ding, all done. And now I'm going to go to bed. And I love you all, except for one of you, but that changes every week. So after I swallow, there is a little tingle on my tongue. So this week, it's very easy to tell which one I don't like.
Love you, Lee.
I love you too, sweetie. Bye. Good night. Bye, and Widge, now, unfortunately, I won't be able to watch your little box and try to shut up, but good luck on that.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
That's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Yes, it is.
So are we doing recommendations now?
Oh, wait, she's gone. I can share my
theory.
Oh,
now you can share your theory.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
No, they're listening to me. So for fuck's sake, I got to do my theory while I still can.
All right, I take
quickly,
my headphones.
While you can still speak, man.
So here's the deal.
I got to take my headphones off. Hold on.
You haven't seen it?
I have not seen the second, the penultimate or the ultimate one, so.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, go away. All right, bye. Just take a second. Yeah. All right, so my theory is this. As someone pointed out in an article, and I thought this was true, if you're at Terminus and you're just basically waiting for people to show up so you can eat them, then that's there's not enough Someone at an airport? What the fuck's happening?
The red zone is for loading and unloading.
The white zone is for loading and unloading.
We all know what this is really about. You want me to have an abortion? So they were saying, well, there's not enough survivors for that, and it's really not a very good use of resources, because wouldn't you just use them as human capital instead of, like, make them work or something? And I'm like,
if you did that, why would they shoot at their feet?
So exactly. And they have a lot of people there, right? So that's when I was like, okay. And that sort of bothered me too. And then I woke up from a nap and I had solved the problem. There are two things that they had gone to great lengths to make sure was clear by the end of season 4. One, that everyone's hungry. And number two, that there are no zombies anywhere near Terminus, which leads me to believe that they're actually eating the zombies. Because
that would be a twist on the cannibals.
Yes, because the whole thing is, my thing is, it's like the whole Bucky thing. It's like, well, the obvious twist is the cannibal thing, which everyone knew was coming, right? It was almost telegraphed.
So they're trying to maim them in the hope that what? They'll get bitten in turn?
No. It's not even that. It's just they'll eat humans. It's just that zombies are more plentiful, obviously. And
okay.
You're already infected, so it doesn't matter. And, you know, the only way that you get, that you die is from a bite where the whatever it is basically gets into your system. Direct.
So I wonder if they're eating tainted flesh, if they're cooking it, that's not enough disinfectant, is it?
Well, I'm thinking. Well, it's like there are plenty of foods that if you prepare them wrong will kill you, right? Like food, like that.
Or is it kind of like cooking with local honey? It builds up the tolerance.
I don't know, but I'm there must be a way to make it make sense. But if they don't do something like that, Terminus itself makes no sense, because there are too many fucking people there to survive off of, you know, eating people. It just doesn't make sense. So anyway, there's my theory. I put it out into the world so that maybe, like the Blacklist, the following, I could be proven true.
Unless Woodbury had a lot more survivors than we were let on.
Yeah, but, you know, someone who isn't me, as the acronym is online, would say that, you know, long pig doesn't last and you kind of have to eat it up.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, especially if they don't have freezer capability.
Yep. So, John, are you back? He's not back yet. He's still in the airport. He's in the airport that's run by Hydra.
No!
Yeah. So, anyway.
Who the hell's Bucky?
But he knew him, Mike. He knew him.
You know what? He was his mission.
I have a lot of feelings about Bucky.
See, I was trying to say that.
You have all the feels.
I do have all the feels, all the Bucky feels.
You know, what would be great is if the Winter Soldier turned out to be Bucky O'Hare instead.
Who?
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, okay.
Who the hell is Bucky?
Side tangent while I think of it.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to finish watching what I sent you?
I've been working my way through it. I've been heads down trying to get a project done on deadline.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so introductions now.
Yeah. Oh, sure, why not?
Because you've snuck your theory in, so we have to, and you've been speaking for longer than 5 minutes, so.
I know. So I need to do something now. All right.
This will give you a chance to be heard.
Yes. For a moment. My moment in the sun. And I don't even like the sun. All right, fine. All right, we'll do introductions and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice. We'll be right back.
another edition of Weekend Justice. This is a Weekend podcast here on Need.coffee. What? Here, we're on Need.coffee.com. Don't interrupt.
Are we?
Yes, we are. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League. Dwindling numbers as we get picked off. As people pair off to go have sex with Carol. I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Kim is with us. Hi, Kim.
Hello. I have feels.
You have feels?
I have feels.
Okay.
Also, I'm now hoarse because I've been talking about Cats in America all day.
Well, there you go. What you need is the winter lozenge. It soothes and relieves. We also have Tuffley is here. Hello, Tuffley.
That's the most improper use of a train car I've ever heard of.
Thank you for that.
Also, who the hell is Bucky? Sorry.
Who the hell is Jesus. Okay, it's you know what? The Winter Soldier needs to be Bucky Goldstein. That's right. Who the hell is Bucky? Scott C is with us. Hi, Scott.
Life will hit you in the head like a mallet.
Well, it could have been Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, that would be really awesome, actually. And also with us is, hopefully, maybe he's there, John for the Neat Geek.
I hate these fuckers on this call.
It's one of my favorites. Oh, God.
Because it's true every time.
Because it's true every time. Ah! Oh, my God. Well, you know, I was about to launch us into recommendations, but then I realized our numbers are basically cut in half.
I can do recommendations. I have some things to recommend.
Well, that's true. Kim, you normally come with, like, a long box full of recommendations. So please begin your recommendations.
Okay. So first, I would like to recommend a video game. And
no.
I know you're shocked. Actually, two video games.
I was going to say, you're going to do both of them?
Yeah, I'm going to do both of them.
Okay.
So first, well, no. I don't know if I'm thinking of the ones you're thinking of. First, I'm going to recommend the DLC for BioShock Infinite.
Oh, which God,
is called
yes.
Buried at Sea. There's actually two parts of it. So I'm partway through the second part. It's really good. Because it's the characters of BioShock Infinite, but they're in the setting of the first BioShock right before it all goes to hell. So you actually get to see it before it's all full of splicers. And it's really cool.
Oh, Kim.
And it's super interesting.
You think you have all the feels now?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, Kim.
I'm only just started the part where you're Elizabeth. So.
Oh, Kim.
I really wanted to stay in Paris, but I could already tell that wasn't going to happen.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. So that's really, really good. And if you like BioShock, you should definitely pick that up. So the second thing I'm going to recommend is kind of not really in my normal video game wheelhouse, but I kind of adore it. And it's Saints Row 4.
Is that the one with the dildo gun?
Yes. Well, it's a melee weapon. It's not a gun.
How you hit people, dare you, sir?
Shoot them.
Wow. So we finally found somewhere on the video game Venn diagram where Scott and Kim...
Okay, so Saints Row, apparently this series started out as a more or less straight-up Grand Theft Auto clone. But over time, it has gradually become more and more and more and more bizarre and wacky. So by the fourth one... So your character is still the head of the street gang, the Saints of the title, but you also like, okay, even the very first, like the pre-credit sequence of this game, you stop a terrorist from nuking the United States while the Aerosmith song from Armageddon plays and all of your team starts talking about their special memories of you. And then you get elected to be the president. And then aliens attack, and you have to fight them off in the middle of a White House press conference. And then you all get put in a Matrix-like simulation, and you get superpowers.
So what you're saying is the same old, same old.
It's ridiculous and brilliant. I really, actually, it's stupid fun.
Is that the one where dubstep is a weapon?
Yes, you have a dubstep gun. It's great. It occupies the grenade launcher's place on your weapon wheel. But yes, the dubstep gun. There's an alien abduction gun. There's a black hole gun. There's the dildo bat. And part of the reason that it's so fun is that the player character is infinitely customizable, and the different options are not constrained by gender. So if you want to make a female character and have her have the voice of Nolan North, you can do that.
As we all sometimes want to.
As we all sometimes want to do. So if I want to make a character who looks more or less like me, you know, chubby, reddish hair, hipster glasses, etc., but still have her, you know, dual wielding pink polka dot submachine guns, I can do that. And then I can fly.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Seriously, it's so fun and ridiculous and also fun. And also the soundtrack is like context dependent to some degree. So, and it's got some of it, it's like, you know, rap and popular songs, but it's also got songs like the song from the Transformers, the movie, the You Got the Touch song, and it will sometimes play when you're doing something particularly awesome.
You got the power!
So great! Yes.
Now here's what I want to know, which is dangerous to ask, but does it have the Gem theme song in it?
I can't hear any of you.
So when does the Gem movie occur, and does it happen before Thor 2 or after?
It's right before the G.I. Joe movie and after the Transformer movie.
It's all part of Fury's big week. So anyway, I recommend Saints Row 4. Even if you don't usually, because I don't usually like to play games like that because I don't like to feel like I'm a bad person.
Why would you be a bad person with a dildo bat?
See, exactly. It's just, you can't take it seriously in Saints Row, so you can just have fun hitting people upside the head with a giant dildo.
You don't like Grand Theft Auto, where, you know, you're playing, but you're also pretty much criminal.
It's like serious thing. Like, they try to be, Grand Theft Auto tries to be, like, the Sopranos of video games and talk about, like, the consequences of crime. Saints Row is just like, yeah, we know you just want to be ridiculous and drive on the sidewalk and hit people with the dildo bat. So, you know, have at it. That's now your quest goal.
But okay, people, you know, at Dragon Con, if somebody gives me a dildo bat, yeah. What?
As you do, you know.
No, you don't. You really don't.
Anyway, are you asking for people to bring you dildo bats to join?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Anyway, Saints Row 4 is really fun. You should play it. Saints Row 3 is also fun. And I would say if you wanted to play both of them, play 3 first, because I started playing 3 and I thought it was really fun. And then I played 4 and it was about 3 times more fun. So if you play 4 first and then play 3, you'll be disappointed. But if you do it in the other order, you get to enjoy them both.
Hang on.
Yes.
So if 4 is 4 happening before 3, or
no, it's set after 3? It. Yeah, they're okay. In order.
Is one of those happening in expanded time, or?
Well, there's a DLC that happens before the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's technically kind of like the Matrix, so.
Do Daryl and Carol have sex in 4 or in 3?
I think he uses a dildo bat.
Wow.
Because a vibrator bat would be going over the line.
By the way, if you do want to bring Scott a dildo bat to DragonCon, make sure you use amazon.com/needcoffee. Just throwing that in.
I think it's the other way around.
You can buy a lot of things on Amazon, but I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
You know what the other name of the dildo bat is?
Challenge accepted.
I think, isn't it called The Penetrator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, wait. This was in the movie Top Secret.
It was, wasn't it?
It took the surgeon 6 hours just to get the smile off his face.
Meetcoffee.com/Amazon. Okay.
Anyway.
And
that's a good game.
By the way, open incognito tab. Hold on.
Incognito tab.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not. No matter what it is, I'm not opening a URL from Scott that has the word penetrator in it.
Actually, there is a dildo bet, and I will send it to you.
Wow.
Okay. You going to order it and send it to her, or are you sending her the link?
Now, wait a minute. I would kind of...
Like that?
That's kind of getting into odd territory there.
As the husband in this scenario.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, actually.
So Amazon truly does have everything. The sex to you, Red Heart pasties clear, and clear baseball bat glass dildo. 9 inches, by the way.
And oh, the one in the game is much longer than that.
This isn't your average.
I was about to say, it's only 9 inches.
This isn't your average dildo, by the way, is what it says.
I don't know. 9 inches?
Nutted. What is nutted?
I don't think that's a real word. I haven't seen that term before.
Don't you want to find?
No, yes. I don't think I do.
It is hand-blown glass.
Now that's just tacky.
But the finger ring does allow for easy thrusting action.
Oh, my God.
Chill or warm the glass for as much as you want. And don't forget the one.
Wow. You know, I'm glad that the Amazon... Oh, and it's sold by Unique Wholesale and Fashion.
Oh, that's Hydra.
But there are no customer reviews, so we can't know if it's real or not. And Amazon wants to sell me the Funko Winter Soldier figure, which is actually very cute.
Sorry, I'm not impressed.
Tempered glass is non-porous and the easiest sex toy material to clean. ... ever.
It's dishwashable.
Don't use Cascade on that. What the fuck?
Oh, jet dry.
Cascade does dirty work.
Spots on that. You don't want spots on that. Somebody might get the wrong idea.
Well, you don't want residue buildup.
Yeah. Especially if it's a sex toy.
But you don't want to get dishpan hands from washing your dildo.
Exactly.
You're soaking it.
Never mind.
Well, that's where the leather gloves come in.
You know, I was just trying to recommend a nice, wholesome, fun video game activity.
With a dildo bat in it.
Using the dildo bat to hit people in the head, not to...
Oh, well then.
Yes, but what are you doing? Wait, now, what are you doing with the alien probe?
I completely apologize.
Well, that you do kind of...
I'd
like to point out that Kim prefers violence to sex, apparently.
Isn't there sex and violence?
Well, there's no sex.
When you're talking about video games, the uncanny valley thing makes sexual content kind of problematic.
Yeah.
I can't even. too many responses.
I try. I don't make it every week, so you know, I try to give good value while I'm here.
I think
so. Anyway,
play that sound again, John.
I only had one. I wanted more.
Oh, I think Tough One needs some Viagra.
Oh.
That's okay. We're all going to have to follow this with recommendations. I'm just pointing that out.
So speaking of which, I also have some more recommendations.
Oh, please.
Go for it.
So Comic Book Land. I know I've recommended it before, but the first trade collection of Sex Criminals is coming out. And you should get it because it's fantastic.
You're not helping, Kim.
Would you like to go ahead and explain the premise of Sex Criminals, Kim?
Oh, we've got it. Haven't I done that on this podcast before?
Just do it again, slowly.
Very slowly.
Hello.
Wow. So, someone else was going to do it, so why not?
As you may know,
it should be me.
As you may know from previous podcasts, the premise of sex criminals is that there are certain people who can basically stop time when they have an orgasm. And they meet each other and decide that the proper use for such a wonderful superpower is to become a bank robber.
As you do.
As you do. And it's actually, it's really, really good. It's because it's about sex, but it's not puerile like you might expect. Like, it's actually treated like, you know, a lot of times when people say that something is adult, they mean it in the Torchwood way of adult, where they're, it's all just kind of visibly snickering over how many naughty words it said. But Sex Criminals is actually, it is adult in the best way. It's respectful. It's not over serious.
Yes, go on.
It's not over serious, but it's respectful of its characters.
It's high art, is
and
what you're saying.
It's extremely entertaining. It's very funny. The art is very funny. There's a lot of little hidden, like, sight gags in it. And the characters are compelling, and it's very well written. It's written by Matt Fraction, who does Hawkeye, and drawn by Chip Zdarsky. And it's great, and you should totally check it out. This is the letters column of Sex Criminals is also the place where Matt Fraction made his now internet famous comment that Clint Barton cries when he comes. He called him a cry-maxer. And then he said, "You're welcome, Tumblr."
Okay.
Wow. So, you know, there's that.
Seriously, wow. We're all going to have to do recommendations to follow this.
Well, it's like Russell Brand was talking about a wank while you cry. It's called a crank.
So anyway, yes,
which was also a Jason Statham film.
Sorry,
that was Jason.
I'm actually, there's a lot of new comics that are coming out that I'm following right now. The new number one of Secret Avengers, like, for some reason, even though they just had a number one last year, they have another new number one this year, but I really like it. It's funny.
Marvel Now number one.
Yeah, the all new Marvel Now number one. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. There's this fight with AIM where Spider-Woman and Natasha and Clint all end up in a Russian bath fighting AIM. And of course, Clint has to get naked again and have his own face censoring his genitals. And I'm always amused by that. But as my embroidery habits will attest, but Fury and Coulson are fighting a cyborg in space, and Natasha and Jessica and Clint are fighting AIM in a bathhouse, and it's a lot of fun. So give that one a try.
Okay, you got to be specific here. Russian bathhouse, right?
Yes.
Not Russian. Like the other kind of bathhouse.
No. The Russian kind.
Okay.
You know.
Eastern Promises is specifically mentioned.
Poor Clint.
Well, of course.
These things just happen to Clint. But,
He loves it.
Also, speaking of things just happening to Clint, you should check out Loki, Agent of Asgard. Now on, I think, up to issue 3 or 4. I think issue 4. It's very good. It's pretty much a direct follow-on to Young Avengers, which was pretty much a direct follow-on to Journey into Mystery with Loki in it. But I'm enjoying that one very much. The new Ms. Marvel is really, really good. The new Silver Surfer is really, really good. The new Captain Marvel number one was very good. And also she made Carol Rhodey canon, which I'm really excited about because I ship them like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're great together. They're both Air Force colonels. They have a lot in common. And they both fly and they both punch things. They have a lot to talk about is what I'm saying. Anyway. And Saga, of course, continues to be fantastic. So those are my recommendations. Has anybody read Velvet? Because I've heard it's good, but I haven't checked it out yet.
What is it?
It's a comic. I think Brubaker is writing it.
Doesn't sound familiar.
I have not.
Apparently, it's a retired assassin who gets back in the business or something like that. I've heard some good reviews, so I'll check it out.
Is it like Red Velvet?
No, it's just called Velvet. I think that's her code name. Anyway.
Nothing?
No.
Damn it.
Anyway, comics, I like them, and there are lots of good ones. And if you don't like Lee's iComma zombie book, you should check out the small I zombie, like iPod comic book, which I have previously recommended, and it's great. And I think there's going to be a TV show made of it now.
Yeah, it's on the CW.
Well, that's disappointing. But the book was really good, so maybe I'll give it a try anyway.
So it'll be something amazingly kind of like a television show, yeah.
Anyway.
I do like Arrow. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay. Yeah.
And I said Silver Surfer, right? The new Silver Surfer.
Yeah, you did. Very Kirby-esque.
That's drawn by the same person who did iZombie and also the recent run of FF. What's his first name? Allred? Mike Allred?
Mike Allred, yeah.
And I think Laura is his wife and she does the colors. I really like their art style. They also do was it Batman 66?
They do the covers of the Batman 66 series.
So I really like their art. So yes. Lots of good stuff. Some new interesting stuff is going to be coming out soon. There's a lot of stuff I'm very interested in the new range of Marvel stuff. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And also Saga, because Saga is fantastic. Yay.
All right.
Comics and dildo bats.
Not in that order.
Just like God intended. I guess. I don't know. On one hand, I'm like, what does a dildo bat look like? Is it just like a giant?
I sent you the link.
The link he sent is just a link to the wiki page, and it's got a picture of the dildo bat in question.
All right, Kim, I'm trusting you. I'm breaking my own rules to do this. Dear Jesus. Oh my God.
You can get them in different colors, though. Mine is like glow in the dark blue.
Of course it is. As it's like a lightsaber.
Yeah, it does like kind of.
it's like half a scythe or something.
Yeah, if you scroll down, there's pictures of the different colors you can get.
Okay. There's a candy cane one.
Uh huh.
That's not right.
Yeah. Or is it really right?
No, that's not right.
Well, although, come on, don't you want to lick it?
No, Scott. Actually, yes, I don't. No, Scott, I really don't.
Liar.
I'm just curious. You could, instead of the penetrator, you could just call it the BFD. That would have been good.
But
and I'm accurate.
I mostly use the dubstep gun, though. Once you upgrade it to have explosive wubs, it's really effective.
This...
It's available for PC, Wedge.
You know what? It sounds like if Bob Burden had done even more drugs, and then
it is available on PC, Wedge,
and then created the Flaming Carrot video game. No, I'm not. No, what was it? What was it? Doc earlier today, and IM was telling me about something that. See, I've even blocked out the name of the game to protect myself. That I said, oh, it's like so it's like Trade Wars 2002, but updated with new game technology. And he said, well, yeah, kind of. And the reason I love Trade Wars 2002, kids ask your parents, or your grandparents at this point, is that you only had a certain number of turns per day, so I could not abuse it or myself. Although, Kim, what is your opinion now that the Avengers are coming to Disney Infinity?
See, I'm trying to stay away from those things because they have adorable little figures.
They are.
And, like, the Frozen ones are really cute, but I don't
She's still
need,
gonna buy the fucking Hawkeye one.
I do not need a game that has collectible components because
it doesn't
I
matter.
Have a problem.
She's still gonna buy the fucking Hawkeye one.
John, do your kids have this?
My son does, yes.
And how bad is he begging for stuff for it?
He earns his money and he can buy whatever he wants with his money.
So here's a question. If you buy the Zoloft figure, does that mean you take over the network?
Did you say Zoloft figure?
No, I said Zola.
Now, that would be a great character, though. Arnim Zoloft. They did not put me into a network. They put me into drugs.
I have to say, I did really like the, like, Cold War steampunk aspect of that. That was kind of cool.
So
yeah, but it's not steampunk and it's not diesel punk. I'm trying to think what that would be.
So it's
Cold War punk. I don't know.
Real to real frame punk. Yeah.
Water Jane Roxon, punk. She might know.
Watergate punk.
So do you think he's toast or is there a back somewhere?
No.
I can't imagine. Well, here's the thing though, they mention in the movie. Now we're back to Iron
Man. Well, Redford says that they cost him Zola. So he seems to think so, but that doesn't necessarily mean Strucker doesn't have a backup or something.
Well, in the movie, Black Widow, I think in a way of foreshadowing, they had Black Widow mentioned when she was doing the backup on the ship. You know, always have a backup.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure she didn't know, but I'm just saying that's a little foreshadowing.
Well, the other thing is they released everything in S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra's database out into the wild, into the internet, which means if the algorithm is inside S.H.I.E.L.D., it's already been released.
And also, I know there have been problems with Windows, but sooner or later you have to upgrade.
No, if you're definitely, and I think that's some very good consumer advice, if you're running Windows XP, beware of Zola.
Yeah.
And here's the really thing you need to be aware of, is that don't mess with Arnim's mom, because that's Ma Zola, and that's corn goodness. Someone out there got that.
No, I got it. I just don't like it.
Ooh.
Oh. Who used to do that? Was that Shirley Jones who did the commercials from Zola?
Oh. Oh, God. I don't know. God.
It was one of the TV moms, I seem to remember.
No, you're thinking about Florence Henderson and Wisson Oil.
Okay, so that's what it is. I leave it to Scott to remember the old commercials.
That sounds so rude. You're thinking of Florence Henderson was a no. Actually, I was thinking of what's her face who played Flo on Alice and some vegetable oil.
So recommendations.
Yeah, recommendations. Okay, Tuffley, why don't you go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Ooh, baby.
We'll start with the Black Lips. They have a new record called Underneath the Rainbow, which is very dirty rock goodness. Band of Skulls have a new record out called Himalayan, which is really, 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 really hard-hitting and good. Let's see. The Silver Surfer book is out. Kim already talked about it. I'll second the recommendation. Very Kirby-esque. Very nice. What else? Let me see. Orphan Black, I believe, comes back Saturday. If you're listening to this before Saturday, try watching it. Because season one is really good, and hopefully the second season curse will not hit this program. But Orphan Black, I believe, comes back this weekend. Mad Men is also back this weekend for 7 episodes, which you'll get now, and 7 episodes you'll get next year. AMC, I'm totally, totally not bitter about that. Yes, I am. But you'll get that starting this weekend. And that's really it right now.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Tuffley. Scott, what have you got?
I've got a couple books. One is Annihilation, the first book in the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. Basically, how it starts is there's this cutoff area called Area X. And they've sent several expeditions to it. And sometimes bad things happen to the expedition members. So this is the story about another expedition going in because, you know, governments just can't leave that shit alone. And it has a very paranoid, suspenseful vibe to it. And it doesn't overplay the weirdness of the area, which is nice. I mean, it's almost Lovecraft without being Lovecraft. It has, like, you know, there are weird things that go on, but it's not obviously tentacles and Squamish and Cyclopean and all that mess. It's, like I said, the thing is, it's like the narrator of this tale almost immediately inhales, like, a spore of a fungus. So almost immediately you know that she is somewhat unreliable as a narrator. And in one form or another, all the rest of the members of the party go nuts. So there's
there's a wonderful uncertainty to this, to the tale, because things are kept from the expedition itself. Things are kept from individual members of the expedition. So you really don't know where you are in terms of it, it keeps you off balance, which is really nice. And like I said, it does it without being, you know, too, you know, weird about the environment, because the environment itself generally is pretty natural and normal, except, you know, like certain plants and certain animals that shouldn't be there, and a lighthouse that keeps moving around and stuff like that. But it's really a nice, understated, suspenseful, weird tale without, you know, going overboard on that. Speaking of overboard, there is a web series that I discovered recently called Epic Mealtime. Yep. Epic Mealtime is basically a bunch of Canadians who get together and make the most ridiculous dishes I've ever seen. I mean, they cover everything in bacon. They have, I'm trying to think how to describe it. They make like hamburgers that are about the size of Widge's head.
I have a really big head.
They make really big hamburgers.
They did a thing where they stuck like a pig inside of a turkey, inside of a duck, inside of a pig, inside of a, I mean, it was like this
layer. And they covered it with bacon.
Oh yeah, and cooked it and ate it.
And ate it.
And I mean,
these people, and it wasn't, these like, people are insane.
It wasn't like, you know, oh, part of a pig. No, it was a pig.
Yes. Yes.
Did they use Krispy Kreme buns?
I'm sure it's something.
No, no, don't forget, they're Canadian, so they used Tim Horton.
Those aren't good, though.
But what I was going to say is they've written a cookbook on how you can make some of these ridiculous, unbelievably insane foods.
Do they like, have turducken?
They don't have it in this one, but they do have things like fast food sushi. They have, let's see, meat salad.
Ew.
A little ooh, but still unbelievably insane and kind of beautiful if you're into that sort of thing. I'm just seeing Dendrain now, even though she's not on, screaming and cursing and gnashing a teeth.
You know, and I thought I was going to take us the worst place with the dildo bat game, but I was wrong, because I went before Scott.
And the YouTube channel is Epic Mealtime, and they have made a cookbook called Epic Mealtime, because, you know, don't mess with a good thing. And it's just ridiculous. And if you want to make something epically ridiculous, they give you the instructions. I don't know if you would make this, because I think they may be banned by the Geneva Convention. I'm not sure, because they're just that ridiculous. But, you know, give it a shot. And it's funny as hell. So try it out. And I think that's it for me. Done. Dawn. Yeah, baby. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
That's kind of like Austin Powers meets James Brown in hell.
You liked it.
That's going to be the title of Scott C's unauthorized autobiography. Oh, God.
I probably authorized it. I'm pretty easy.
Well, yes. John, what have you got for us?
Since we're talking about dildo bats, I would recommend the Signature Sleep Contour 8-inch mattress. I purchased this recently, and it's...
Wait, you only bought a mattress that 8 inches?
Yeah.
Is that kind of small?
No.
Well, it's not about the size, Scott.
It's about how you
use
it.
Yeah, it is.
It's about how you wear it in. How you put it in. Wait, no. So anyway, there's that.
So it's just a fancy term for a tampon, John.
So there's that. Also, to sort... I don't know how to pronounce the stupid thing. It's a game I just bought recently. It's been around forever, but Tesoro of the Seas, Soro. It's the flying dragon game, but then the one where the seas, the boats, they get attacked by dragons. Anyway, it's a
what?
Yeah, exactly. It's a really cool. Look it up. Tesoro of the Seas. You've seen it before. I know you.
They're dragons using dildo bats.
Exactly. And last but not least, because everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
The Lego Movie video game is awesome as well, as all the Lego video games are, possibly with the exception of the Indiana Jones a bit. But anyway, even the Indiana Jones is fine. The Lego video game, movie video game is, you know, basically roughly the plot of the Lego movie, but a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, the humor you've come to
expect. Do you get to build a spaceship?
You get to build everything. It's Lego.
Well, I know, but do you get to build a spaceship?
I don't know if I've gotten that far, but I have not yet.
Do you get to build a snowman?
I want to build a snowman.
But she likes warm hugs.
I should write a song about that. Anyway, in a Lego video game movie thingy, all bought through needcoffee.com/Amazon to support this podcast and many others.
Yes, that is absolutely.
Because we need the money. You've heard our audio quality. We so need the money. Please.
All this money goes to getting another hamster to generate the internet webs that Widge uses.
Or paying off Verizon.
I did not take the first one. I didn't do that.
Or paying off Verizon.
Well, there's that too.
Why? Yeah. Off Verizon?
Yes.
Yes, Netflix had to pay off Verizon to
Netflix
get
just
access.
Did that recently as well?
Yeah, Netflix did that too.
I know Comcast did it, but...
Netflix
paid Comcast. Huh, interesting. Which is, okay, so I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but it is Weekend Justice. So the problem that I've had, and I think I've mentioned this before, with Verizon is that they own fucking Redbox, and they own Redbox Instant.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, that's the poster child for net neutrality is right there in front of you. Of course, they're going to say, well, look, Redbox Instant is, you know, it's a little bit faster. How about that right over there? You know, this is... The Netflix thing is kind of slow, isn't it? On this whole Fios thing that you're paying $1 bazillion a month to have all this upload and download speed, but it might be a little slower. Anyway, that's it. Hey, Widge, needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Yeah, Sean is absolutely right. If you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon to buy anything, whether it's your Hawkeye Disney Infinity fucking figures or your dildo packs, whatever works.
I don't think Disney would release a fucking figure.
No, you have to go to the secondary market for that.
No, that's the Samuel Jackson version of Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Wouldn't they do that through Miramax?
Do you want to build a fucking snowman?
Yeah. Touchstone action figures. Oh, God. So, yes, if you go and you... We all buy from Amazon anyway. So if you do it through that link, needcoffee.com/Amazon, or use one of the search thingies on the right-hand side of pretty much every page on the site... we get kickbacks, which helps pay for things like the server, which hopefully we'll be getting another one soon. It'll be great. So my recommendations, first of all, Vice is back.
Yes. Yes.
It will make you angry, but it's very good. In fact, on vice.com, they have talking about what the crazy food people. They had a deal about the roast without equal. So I wanted to read you really quickly what the different birds that were used to make this. The recipe calls for, and this is a quote from Vice.com. The recipe calls for a bustard stuffed with a turkey, stuffed with a goose, stuffed with a pheasant, stuffed with a chicken, stuffed with a duck, stuffed with a guinea fowl, stuffed with a teal, stuffed with a woodcock, stuffed with a partridge, stuffed with a plover, stuffed with a lapwing, stuffed with a quail, stuffed with a thrush, stuffed with a lark, stuffed with an ortolan bunting, no idea, stuffed with a garden warbler, stuffed with an olive, stuffed with an anchovy, stuffed with a single caper, with layers of Luca chestnuts, force meat and bread stuffing between each bird. You stew it in a hermetically sealed pot with onion, clove, onion, clove, carrots, chopped ham, celery, thyme, parsley, pork fat, salt, pepper, coriander, garlic, and other spices, and you cook it over a fire for 24 hours.
See, if they had bacon, that would have ended up on Epic Mealtime.
Can you replace the hermetically sealed oven with, a crock pot?
Oh, sure, why not? It would have to be a really fucking big crock pot.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't think you can get buzzard anymore.
It's not like you can't find one.
Well, now hang on. It was actually, it's bustard, and I don't know if...
Oh, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, That is a large terrestrial bird.
Like, I think those are like dodos or something. I don't think they have them anymore.
No, there's several. Yeah, there's several of them.
Huh. Maybe they just don't call it that because it sounds too much like a swear.
Yeah, I'd never heard of the term before. So, but yeah, so that's 17 birds and some ham. So there you go.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
And you can only find shit.
Well, they already
like,
talked about partridge.
You can only find shit like that on Vice.com. They're all absolutely fucking insane. And their show is also pretty damn crazy. So I recommend that. I also recommend, again, during our off week, I seem to recommend things on the off week. The Blu-ray of Touch of Evil is coming out. The Orson Welles film that I was first introduced to with like a 9-page description of the opening shot, one continuous shot that Robert Anton Wilson did in, I want to say it was Prometheus Rising, but I might be wrong. So I was fascinated to watch that, and it's a really interesting film. It's a flawed film, but it's worth watching. And I'm sure the Blu-ray will look pretty fantastic because the 50th anniversary DVD was pretty good all on its own. So look for that coming out next week.
Can I mention something?
Go!
One other thing that I thought of. Two things, actually. Number one, Riff Trax has announced the next live thing they're doing is Sharknado, and that's in July.
Nice.
In theaters in July. Their recent takeover of the National Geographic Channel, all three of those are also on available for sale on the Riff Trax website. So if you would like to see them actually riff National Geographic documentaries, please go check that out.
Excellent. Well, I think that's it. I think we've come to the end of another podcast. I don't think I survived it this time.
No.
I may have to come back as the Wintry Soldier or something. The Wintermint Soldier. That would be me.
Who the hell is Widget?
Yeah.
The Widget Soldier. I ask
that every single fucking day.
Weekend Justice, the Widget Soldier.
Oh, God.
And ironically, this one's not going to have anything to do with you either.
Yes, that's pretty much it. And I'm fine with that. So as we careen into the barrier that is the end of another insane podcast, I think we take that moment that we always do at the end of one of these things, sort of meander about and think to ourselves, but we say it aloud because this is a podcast and we don't do thought balloons. Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
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 Yes, Hydra.
It's Can we say dildo bat instead?
Oh, sure.
Or dildo bat. Hydra or dildo bat. You decide.
Hey, but you know what you need to do if you want to protect yourself from the clairvoyant? You need to wrap your skull in Hydra foil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hydrofoil or dildo bat, like father, like son. Think about it, won't you?
What?
Oh dear.
Thank God.
I think so.
I don't think he heard you either.
What?
What?
I said, I don't think he heard you either.
I just don't understand why bringing up a dildo bat made you think of a Kirk Cameron Dudley Moore film. These are all mysteries. These are mysteries.
Lots
and
of
unsolved mysteries.
Murder, yeah. She Wrote has mysteries.
No, that was because she actually did kill all of those people.
I know that's your theory.
That's, no, I think Angela Lansbury was very cunning.
I've heard that about Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
It's all in the Manchurian Candidate, people. That's all I'm saying.
It was Hydra all along.
It was Hydra.
I just want, you know what? Here's what I think should happen. You should get a bunch of random celebrities just saying Hail Hydra, because I would pay good money just to see Angela Lansbury say Hail Hydra.
There's a supercut.
Yeah, I would be fine with that. Again, Robert Redford and Gary Shandling saying Hail Hydra.
That was pretty amazing.
Actually, you know what? The Hydra infestation actually does explain the entirety of its Gary Shandling show. It really, really does. Just as a meta thing. Wow. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's destroyed brain.
Wow.
Even the theme song explains everything.
Well, if you play it backwards,
yes.
I was wondering why, you know, if you play it backwards, it says cut off one head and two shall take its place. I didn't really understand at the time what that meant. But now I know.
See, Randy Newman was on it all along. Yep, yep.
Hail Hydra, you my friend.
Hail Hydra, you my friend. Yes.
Hydra's behind this podcast, too. This podcast was brought to you by Hydra.
And you.
One head. What? Cut off one head, two more grow.
All hail our green-wearing overlords.
Okay, there was actually... So I'm reading this comic. It's a 60s set Winter Soldier story. It's called The Bitter March. It's like a limited series they're doing right now. And there's a scene in it where a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent has infiltrated a Hydra castle. And there's this great panel where they all are doing the Hail Hydra salute. You know, it's like the two fists in the air. And he has a martini in one hand. And he's like putting up his other hand. And he tells this woman he's standing next to him, he's like, I never know what to do when they do the salute. And I'm holding a cocktail.
I've run into that problem as well. What does etiquette say when you're dealing with megalomaniacs and you need to salute?
He's like, is one fist enough?
Well, you want to be careful when you're double fisting Hydra.
Oh, on one hand, John, I want to tell you to mark that one. On the other hand,
what about your other hand, Widge?
At no time do my fingers move my hand.
Well, you know, you want to be careful when you're double fisting the Coda. So,
dear.
Don't forget the lube.
Never. Never forget the lube.
Anywho.
You. All right. Well, I need to pee.
Okay.
I need a cue.
Yes, I do. So.
Did you say something? We couldn't hear you.
Goddamn Hydra fucking with my volume.
Stay hydrated.
Yes. You know what? Okay, here's the deal. For the next 24 hours, anytime something goes wrong, just go, fucking Hydra. I burn the toast. Fucking Hydra. Let me burn my goddamn toast. Oh, man. My AT&T dropped the call. Hydra's behind AT&T, obviously.
Oh, well, obviously.
Samsung is Hydra. That's for damn sure. Oh, God. Look at all this acne. Fucking Hydra. Next 4 hours, I want to see. Don't make it a hashtag because you know some people haven't seen the film. But just to yourself, enjoy that. Take it home and enjoy it.
My small penis, damn Hydra.
Fucking Hydra,
cut off one head, two more grow in his face.
It is really disturbing.
And with that, I think I'm out.
And Kim drops the mic.
Good night.
Good night.
Rock and roll, revolutionaries! Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice number 214, Apocalyptic Sexy Time, was a production of NeatCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by Hydra. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many fists they can put up to salute, Baron Von Strucker, the Contessa, the Gorgon, the Viper, the Red Skull, Jessica Drew, and the Kraken. This episode was directed by Arnim Zola from a script by The Fixer. All audio glitches were provided by me, Mentalo. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors Hydra and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then welcome to Hydra. If you haven't given, a flying supercarrier will be to your home shortly to obliterate you. Avoid this fate. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing that. It really helps our plan for world domination. And now, hail Hydra. Oh, and here's the coda.
Oh my gosh, John, cover that up.